Wrong is a Red Shovel Network production. The Red Shovel Network consists of The Drew Mack Show, Child of the Duff's No Bullshit News, Emma Elric's Soul of Detroit, and No Filter Sports and shit. Enjoy the following Red Shovel Network production, please.
We're being told that we need to wrap up because you have to get on to your next interview.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
Jim, do you have a message before we let you go? Do you have a message to your fans and to Priest fans about your streak?
Go see the shows, man. They're great live.
It does. Here's a message.
Yeah, thanks for everybody that's been supportive. It's been fun, and I'm still enjoying it.
Wow. Sounds like everyone is involved in this. Hang on. Butt Mike wants to say something.
Wow. That was kind of a duck impersonation, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Butt Mike just wanted to say, well, it could be worse. It could be a peeping Tom. And he also said, get a life. So I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry, Jim.
That's too bad.
Yeah, okay.
Jim, congratulations on the streak. I'll be looking for you when you and Rip can do publicity together.
All right, thanks a lot.
Okay, we'll see.
All right, man.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Oh, Butt Mike.
Yeah, God, Butt Mike.
Wow.
What was that? It was like sort of a Donald Duck impersonation there. Oh, boy.
That was really something.
Man, that really tickled. That tickled. That was a weird one. That may have come out sideways.
Where's the dad? Here we go.
On the streak. I'll be looking for you when you and Rip can do publicity together.
All right.
I got to hear this.
Yeah, me too.
Sounds like everyone is involved in this. Hang on, Butt Mike wants to say something.
That was kind of a duck impersonation, wasn't it? Butt Mike just wanted to say, well, it could be worse. It could be a peeping Tom. And he also said, get a life. So I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I'll have to hear it again, but I couldn't cut off Butt Mike's message.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the translation. That was kind of a duck impersonation. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I've never heard of something like that ever.
Wow. Sounds like everyone is involved in this. Hang on. Butt Mike wants to say something.
That was kind of a duck impersonation. Butt Mike just wanted to say, well, it could be worse. It could be a peeping Tom. And he also said, get a life. So
I'm so glad Butt Mike said to get a life.
Yeah, I thought there might be a quack in there somewhere, too, but I guess not.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man, my stomach. Oh. The Affleck duck. That's kind of a duck. Oh, my stomach. That was kind of a duck impersonation.
I can't breathe.
Butt Mike just wanted to say, well, it could be worse. It could be a peeping Tom. And he also said, get a life. So. Oh, my stomach.
I'm so glad Butt Mike said to get a life.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. Oh, here it is.
One more time, please.
Wow. That was kind of a duck impersonation, wasn't it?
Say something. Mike is going to die laughing. Did that stink?
No, not at all.
Yeah, right.
Oh, no, it's just really good.
I saw you waving air. I didn't know if you were reviving yourself.
I'm really like overly heat. I'm all hot. It's just too hot in here.
That interview was a little slow on the uptake, but an ending.
Hey, what's poppin'? DealsIndeed.com for Tuesday, actually on Memorial Day, and an old Drew and Mike, the duck fart, which had a long life on the show, long after that.
How many categories were there?
Different farts?
Mm-hmm.
They're all snowflakes, Drew.
Yeah, every fart.
I remember attic.
Unique.
There was an attic.
Attic fart, yeah. True. A Ray Guy fart. That's one that hung around for a long time. Had the hang time of all-pro punter Ray Guy.
Number eight.
There's the buzzer fart. We know that.
Yeah, the buzzer fart's great. I like that. I just heard that's funny. Dan Evans has been sending me Drew and Mike bits, and I think I said this, I used to listen to them with a little trepidation, like, is this going to be as funny as... And they're really good, I have to say. He sent me a lot of great... He sent me the Bieber thing with the grandma whose phone number was tweeted out by Justin Bieber saying, hey, girls, call me.
Yeah.
And we linked her up with Justin Bieber. It's actually a soundboard of Bieber. You know, and the funniest one was when she got mad because Bieber isn't very sympathetic, at least from the soundboard. And she says she thinks she's on drugs or something, and he says, you're just addicted to the Biebs. But, you know, he's real happy, Justin Bieber. It's just, I don't know, I thought it was really, really funny. I got a great laugh out of that. And then the duck fart came in. I thought, hey, how about a little Memorial Day treat?
Definitely.
Why not?
Sure.
And we have a couple treats in mind. Gary Graff, Mr. Big Stuff, will be big stuffing. He has an event tomorrow night, and... Hopefully there's some other things. I didn't really do my homework for Gary.
There's lots to talk about. I saw a first Spice Girls concert. I'm just kidding.
Well, I'm intrigued. If there's audio, I wouldn't mind hearing it. Do we have audio of Mel B going off?
Yeah. I mean, it's all over the web.
He was
not that one. Keep going down, Brandon. That one.
He was at Sammy Hagar in the Circle.
Oh, that's right.
Sounds great, doesn't it? That's a different one that's demonstrating how bad the audio is. Mm. But then people just start streaming out because the audio is so bad. She starts swearing on the stage. No one's really sure as to why.
Really?
Well, that would be interesting to hear if we can find it. But not only do we have Gary Graff talk a little rock and roll, we have Jeffrey Felix because, once again, O.J. Simpson has entered the news as it was revealed that, well, it's already been revealed, but I want to call him Don Pardo.
They call me Jews, the Jews.
Is it Norm Pardo?
Norman, yep.
Yeah, Norman Pardo, who we've had just brutal arguments with on the show, and he's left with a huge red ass every time. Norman Pardo says that OJ bragged to him that he nailed Chris Kardashian in his hot tub, and that she had to go... She had to go to the hospital afterwards.
What? Come on.
Yeah, no,
I don't know. I mean,
I'm not doubting Norman.
Same thing happened with Tom Jones. Wasn't it the...
this guy's wiener is, you know, huge, right?
The Halloween chick?
Yeah, Elvira.
Elvira, yeah. He had Listerined properly, done the Listerine basting and everything, and so he just lasted too long, and apparently Tom Jones is really hung.
Wow.
So she got a beat. She needed a couple stitches. That's true. She said that, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But... Jeffrey Felix, who, of course, guarded the juice, as the title of his book, isn't it Guarding the
Guarding
Juice?
Guarding the Juice.
Yeah, he was his guard in Nevada. He's a really funny guest.
Yeah, he's great.
For
he
all the
everything
wrong
going
reasons.
On in Vegas, too.
He does. He's just full of rumors, but most of them are, there's something to them.
Hmm.
He's really got his ear to the ground.
I wonder if he's been to the Aerosmith show. which is there.
Probably, if it's in Vegas.
He will know something about Aerosmith.
Well, Steven Tyler seems like he's making headlines and drawing people in just by going around and in like stunting nudity and other kind of weird stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
Yeah, he gets in the news a lot for weird
dumb things
he's doing.
Yeah.
Which I guess is a way to sell tickets for Vegas shows.
I would think people would go see Aerosmith in Vegas like crazy in a small venue. That would be a dream.
Yeah.
So, Jeffrey Felix after Gary, and then...
We've put out a message to Norman, because I'm sure Norman will.
Well, we've discovered that we can conference the calls if we have Norman and Jeffrey. I think that'd be a funny conference, because Norman is so serious, and Jeffrey is just so loosey-goosey. I mean, he'll say anything about anyone if he thinks he knows. And he loves OJ. He just could not have. I mean, he's like, get a room, Felix. And he's got to talk about how big his dong is, and he just goes on and on about him. But he says that the Jews told him that he would never do that to his friend.
Jews is an upstanding guy. I could see him. I could see him saying that.
I could see him saying that. I can't see him really doing that if he's hammered or something.
But then Chloe, man, his daughter, stop for sure.
Totally. I still believe that.
I don't know how that times out, because when did he supposedly nail Chris Kardashian? Oh, we're breaking the Kardashian rule. Damn it.
But it's an OJ rule. Doesn't that supersede?
Yeah.
It was right before they divorced. So 1990?
Yeah, I think
how
that's
Chloe?
Too late. Chloe's in her 30s. Chloe would be born in like 86, 85.
Hmm.
Huh. I'm so tired
Damn
of it.
Damn it. I want to believe that rumor, though.
I think it's
so
true.
Do.
I do believe it. I absolutely do.
Whether it's logical or not.
So today we're live on Facebook today. It feels like a Sunday show, but it's not. It's a Monday show, but it still feels like kind of holiday-ish. And anyway, Mesa's wide open. Mesa's been doing great business because the patio is open. It's a nice day. Had a couple decent days of weather, some not so good. But anyway, it's good for the patio at Mesa Tacos and Tequilas, Main Street in Royal Oak, between 3rd and 4th on Main. The best patio in the city, indoor and outdoor seating, and also the 35-foot screen and the 10% discount. Mention the Drew and Mike show.
Nacho, nacho, man.
Tacos and tequila.
A nacho, man.
150 tequilas. But my day got started. This is so weird. I feel like I was on a field trip today.
Oh, fun.
Because I was supposed to, originally, it was like, hey, let's get up and work out at 9 o'clock. And so I agreed. Okay, man, no problem. Then he says, you know what? Can we
Looks
work out
like
at
you're keeping your bod pretty tight.
I am. I'm working on it. And I'm like, yeah, I can do 8:30. Well, because at 9:30, this friend of mine, I think who's on the Downtown Development Authority, you know, he's mixed up in all things Royal Oak, is having a pancake breakfast to raise money for the Historical Society. So I'm thinking, well.
Well, plus the parade was today in Royal Oak.
Well, I wasn't thinking about that at the time, but. So I'm like, well, I'll do my civic duty. I'll go to the pancake breakfast for the Historical Society. I'd like to be charitable and tithe and do all the right things.
Pancake breakfast, too.
So, yeah, well, I wasn't that excited about the pancake breakfast.
That sounds delicious.
I just thought, I can go places. I can do that. I will. Mm-hmm. So we met at 8:30. Then when we finished the workout at 9:25, Matt says, okay, follow me here, take a ride in there, and then you've got to go on the alley so we can get to my building so we can park in there because the parade's going on. I'm like, can I just ride with you and just bring me back? And he goes, yeah. So I rode with him. Hungo followed us. Hungo works out with us, too. And we get there, and then I notice the parade. There's a big crowd, which is, like, mind-boggling to me because I'm looking. There's just politicians walking through
That's
the streets with
is.
Signs.
Yeah.
Oh, that's bad.
I was looking at the list yesterday because I was thinking of taking the kids, and then I realized it's 9 in the morning. We can't.
Yeah.
We can never get it together to be there by 9. Why is a parade at 9 a.m.?
How can a politician go in a parade on Memorial Day? I don't know. I just thought that stunk.
Really?
It just bothered
they
me.
All
it's
do.
Political bullshit.
But shouldn't it be soldiers, military people, Memorial
Day? Memorial Day is for the dead. Veterans Day, I could see.
Well, Memorial Day, is it about politicians?
Well, nothing should ever really be about politicians.
I just can't see getting up.
But parades are about politicians.
People are getting there early to get close seats to watch people who are politicians walk through. I mean, I thought it would have been more interesting to clear out the sidewalks and have everyone walk down the middle of the street and watch the group that was walking down the street.
Oh, yeah.
Because actually the crowd was more interesting than the politicians. There were some military guys banging drums and stuff.
If you know the politicians, that'd be one short parade. Maybe they just know they can always count on the politicians to fill up the space.
Well, yeah, there was filler needed. They did have some moms group, Second Amendment moms or something.
Okay.
And there was a lawn care truck.
Oh,
and there was a,
you know, you can apply to be in the parade. You want to apply and be in the parade next year?
Yeah.
The podcast.
The pot people were in the parade, too.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
What's it, CDM or
CBD?
CBD, yeah. Big banner for CBD and the company.
Smoke weed every day.
So anyway, we make our way through the parade, and I realize that, oh, this is over by the market. This is seriously a field trip now. It's like we're walking. We get coffee for the walk.
Yeah.
Then we're walking. We're through the parade. We're, you know, looking at people. Lots of people taking pictures, by the way.
Sure.
Lots of pictures of the parade. Lots of phones, which... I just want to go, who are you going to show that to? I really wanted to confront people.
Maybe they're filming the pilot. Maybe they work for the politicians.
Not that many people. If all those people are on the dole, then we're in trouble. Anyway, we finally make it to the pancake. There's a line for the pancake breakfast.
Oh, boy. How miserable are you at this point?
Because
right now you're also a passenger.
I know. I'm a total passenger.
You're stuck.
You know, you nailed it. That's where I felt like, oh, my God, I have no escape hatch because it's too far to walk back to the health club. And not that I was having a horrible time, but I just was all of a sudden, it's like, when is this going to be over? When is this going to be over? And so we sit down. Nobody's really hungry. We're just kind of supporting this thing. And then,
yeah, what'd you eat?
And then somebody bought us breakfast. Actually, it was Matt's friend from, I can't remember the name of the club. It's across the street from Woody's. Fifth Avenue, yeah.
It's not Woody's anymore, but yeah.
I know. And what is it now?
Hopcat.
Is it? Oh, that's Hopcat? Mm-hmm. Wow. Is that for the last 10 years?
I don't know, maybe five.
Okay.
Five, what do you say? One to 15.
Around. I don't mind this joint at all.
Anyway, he's hosting the event for Killer on June 27th. So we're chattering about that, and all these people are stopped by from the DDA, and it's just kind of, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not
your favorite thing.
It wasn't my favorite. I mean, it was, plus there's a lot of people I didn't know.
Yeah.
So just, and then finally we left. Well, finally, I shouldn't say finally.
Eventually.
We left around 11:15, 10 to 11. We have to walk back to the garage.
Oh,
and then,
Lord.
Of course, Matt knows people.
Did you keep saying, I thought this was supposed to be leg day, Matt? Why are we walking so much?
Matt, of course, knows people on the way back, too.
Yeah.
Who has to, you know, say hi to him.
Surprised he wasn't in the parade.
He should have been in the parade.
Really?
I know. Honestly, everyone knows him. And then he's got to drive me back to my car. And I'm riding with him thinking, why is he pulling into LA Fitness? I'm like, oh, I have to get my car, the final step. It's like, and then I had to go to CVS to get, what was I getting? Salt, because we're having a barbecue here. Why did we do this? Why are we having a barbecue today? Because it's Memorial Day, I know, but I didn't realize you were getting a barbecue for the event.
Oh.
Oh, well, how else were we going to have one?
I thought you had like a George Foreman grill you could just bring over.
Well, that's not a barbecue, is it?
That's a barbecue.
Barbecue with this dude.
I love
we
the fact.
We eat ribs and whatnot. And listen to salt.
The George Foreman grill, we'll do like two burgers at a time, and it'll be plugged in. It doesn't have anywhere near what you need for Memorial Day.
I love the fact that
charcoal.
You have no salt in this house. But yeah, Trudy asked if I could bring a spatula over, and I said I was already here, but I guarantee you for some reason Drew has one in this house.
There was something,
said you have multiple spatulas.
There was something approximating a spatula.
Yeah.
I guess that was a spatula.
Three things that could pass for one.
But yeah, I had to get mustard, mayonnaise, ketchup.
Oh, okay. So
and if I checked the refrigerator, I would have seen that I already had mustard and mayonnaise. But for some reason, I just thought, I don't have anything, because I don't generally have anything.
No, you don't.
In fact, there's only five forks, by the way. So there's now nine people coming. I don't know what's going to happen. I guess I'll just eat something that doesn't require a fork.
Oh, it's burger.
Plastic
so
fork.
It's got a
that's true. I guess we don't need. Yeah, there's some plastic
like
forks here. You're right. Okay. But it was a lot of stress. I went to Holiday Market yesterday.
Oh, boy.
And I made it through four rows this time before the cart was completely full.
Mm-hmm.
I've never made it through rows 5 through 11 because my cart is always full. Because I just go, oh, I need this. I don't have butter. We probably need some fruit. I might as well get some desserts.
Probably need some
And then there's
fruit.
All those gourmet dinners I like.
Yes, pre-made.
Which are really good.
Uh-huh.
And that's, I mean, I should be buying those every week. So it was crazy. $329.
What?
$329.
Wow, and four rows?
Market. Yeah, and I just went over there to get butter, hot dog buns, hamburger buns, salt, which I forgot.
That place is intoxicating.
Yeah, so there's a lot of food in the house. The dogs are really excited.
Oh, that's hilarious.
You sent me a
You're
million
be
texts
exhausted.
Asking whether we needed these things, and then it took me a really long time to get back to you. And you're like, and by the way, slow down answering. It was so late.
Well, I was in Holiday Market asking what kind of pickles, because I'm like, pickles? I never eat pickles. I don't know how to buy pickles. Fortunately, someone else answered me before you did.
Wait, you had to get a pickle consultant?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I texted like four people. I just thought, somebody will answer fast.
What kind did you get? Now I'm dying to know.
Kosher.
Oh. Are they like full spears?
I don't know, Mark.
Or chips?
Hopefully you like them.
Should have gotten butter chips, man.
I got some chips, but no dip, because the store was closing. I got to tell you, it was a total panic. And I was stunned to check my car keys and find out that I had the thing that they want before they'll ring you up. You know, your Holiday Market card or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm constantly being asked, do you have your blah, blah, blah card? And I'm like, I don't think so. And,
yeah.
And they seem really put out by it, don't
they?
Because they'll use theirs or somebody in line. Well, somebody in line used theirs on you, didn't they?
Yeah, at Kroger. Yeah, because I was buying the grill.
Yeah.
I went in to buy it. I just happened to, you know, I went in for charcoal, and
see,
I just happened to see it.
What an outrageous job this is to put it.
Yeah.
I know. And it was fully assembled, and I'm like, do you have any more of these, and are they hard to put together? And the guy goes, oh, let me ask. And he asked the lady who's stocking things, and he goes, hey, could she just take this as is, which isn't what I wanted to do,
but I got away with it. As a customer, I love doing that. In fact, once on Christmas, my friend had to buy his sister a tennis outfit, and he was asking about sizes, and I said, you want the one on that mannequin, right? And he goes, yeah. And I said, well, she looks like about Connie's size. And so he checked, and he's like, yeah, I think that's about her size. So he bought the one off the mannequin, but they really acted like, oh, my God, this is quite irregular. And and by the way, it fit, and she liked it.
Wow, cool.
You're not supposed to buy the floor model.
Well, it looked like her size, and they didn't have her size skirt or something. I don't know.
And dragging this grill, though, through the line, and they were put out with me because I didn't have a Kroger customer card. And she goes, three times, are you sure? You don't have one of those? And I'm like, no, I don't. Because it was for the discounted price.
Right. Well,
and a lady behind me is like, whatever, I'll have, you know, just use mine.
No, sometimes I want to pay for people. They're taking so long. Like, just here, I'll pay for them.
Last time I went to Kroger, the person doing the checkout just used theirs. Like, they had a line.
Oh, they do that.
Card.
Yeah. I've noticed too that more and more people, you have to make a decision before you can charge whatever it is you buy. It's not enough to buy things. You have to decide if you approve of their charity, if you'll give $1 or $6 or $9 or Books a Million did it to me. Then at CVS, they're like, oh, do you want a gift to blow? And I'm like, oh, God. And so I always feel like, oh, I'm such a jerk if I don't give a dollar. And then I'm just like, okay, I hit no. And then this other thing comes up, like, and I said, what's this? And she goes, can we have your updated email? No! But when you're buying something, shouldn't they make it easy for
yes.
you?
I felt like a total ass. I was at a coffee shop in Royal Oak. And place my order.
Oh, I know where you were.
you know where I'm going.
Yeah, I know exactly where you're going.
And they say, where would you like to donate to? And there's three choices, like on this little iPad screen. I said, oh, I don't really want to donate. And then I felt like a dick because they go, oh, no, we'll donate on your behalf.
Yeah, you decide which one to pick. And you're like, no, none of them.
So I felt like an asshole.
Money.
No, we'll donate. And then I just went, well, then you pick. I don't care. That doesn't matter to me.
And it has always been my go-to charity.
Together, because LaDuff's coming and Amy, so I'm going to head upstairs. Can you do my reads for me?
Sure. Okay. No problem. Yeah.
Somebody on Facebook Live is very proud of Drew for evolving.
Going
to a grocery store since he tried leaving the species. It's like he did leave the species and now he's coming back. He's slowly evolving.
And discovering what's in some of the other aisles. Not much. He didn't venture far, but... Holiday Market is great, too, because they have such an alcohol aisle.
They
God.
Do. Yeah. They got a good wine guy, too. He lives in my neighborhood.
Really?
Yeah. He's a good dude.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They know everything there is to know about it.
Who's that dude?
I know a lot about Zot Ford, but Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram and Deals in the D are smack dab in the middle of their Jeep celebration event, and they're excited for you to be a part of it during Zot Jeep celebration event. You can lease a new 19 Jeep Compass Limited at just $188 a month. You can also lease a new 19 Jeep Grand Cherokee for just $277 a month. Or if you fancy yourself more of a Ram truck type, and there are a lot of those guys and girls, How about leasing a new 19 Ram Bighorn Crew Cab 4x4 for as low as $169 a month? Better still, how about 0% financing? Yeah, how about that? On the all-new 2018 Ram Heavy Duties in stock. As you can see, Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram is kicking off this hot summer with a bang. So strap on your asbestos underwear and take advantage of these deals right now.
And that's what I'm going to drive.
Life is just grand here at Red Shovel, and this is so much cooler than radio for so many reasons, even though I do sort of, I like my radio. I was there at my radio gig today, too.
You did? You worked today?
Yeah.
I didn't give you the deal.
Yeah. Jeez. Trudy, Mark, Maz, Brandon, we all do our thing right here in the basement, and all of you have been great by listening, for sharing all of our shows with your friends, spreading the word, and supporting our sponsors. Sponsors like Dr. Yaldo, Michigan's premier eye surgeon, are also loyal and accountable, and when you go see him to get rid of your glasses, your contacts, or your dreaded reading glasses, he knows that you came in on our recommendation. And he and his staff give you great care and attention because we're all in this together for better sight. I love my LASIK and my designer sunglasses from Dr. Yaldo's new eyewear department. Eli on No Filter loves his multifocal implants, and he will tell you about them. Just ask.
Just to show off.
Be done with the old technology.
There he is.
And get the true precision vision that'll change your world. Tell them Drew and Mike sent you. And you'll get a free evaluation, preferred pricing, and easy financing if you need it. Call 1-800-398-EYES. That's 1-800-398-EYES. Or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com. And Dr. Roche hatching up some great things for June, because it's Brides Month.
Aww.
A lot of people get married in June, and you want to tune up before you do that. Everybody in your wedding party really needs to tune up, tighten up, because you're going to wear some of those risque dresses or something really tight. And, of course, you want to look great in your bridal gown. They still have Mother's Day specials for Body Type, Morpheus 8, Serona, BBL, and Diva, as well as breast lifts and augmentation. But when we get to June, of course, the entire wedding party.
Yes.
We'll want to go in for...
They should do a wedding party...
party.
...deal. Yeah.
Where
six women come in and get Diva.
All at once. Yeah, you can get your
boobs. They get bigger boobs.
Bigger boobs. You can... they can...
basically just fix yourself.
Sure. Work on your,
whatever you don't like.
Your booty, you know?
Yeah.
Give your Brazilian butt lift a try. And all the other things. Zerona, which, of course, contours and helps lift your skin.
Oh.
And eliminate cellulite. Body Tight for that idea of the hourglass figure in your wedding lace. Morpheus 8 and BBL for that wow look in your wedding pictures. So if you're going to be a June bride, or if you're going to be a bride anytime this summer, you should go see Dr. Roche for a consultation. 248-338-1110. 248-338-1110 or call DRROCHE.com.
Morpheus.
That is good.
Yeah.
I got injured this weekend.
Oh, how?
On a slip and slide.
Oh.
What happened? I cut my foot.
Are you okay?
No, I'm not. My foot's all swollen. I had to walk it off and pretend like it didn't hurt either, because I didn't want the kids to know that their dad's an old man and it really hurt.
What'd you do?
Pussy.
I set up this giant water playground in the backyard. God, was it Saturday? Or I don't even remember what day it was. But Charlotte and I went out there to do some work, and I was going to do all this yard work, and I just said, you know what? Fuck it, man. We're setting up the kiddie pool. We're setting up the slip and slide, the sprinkler. We made a water slide.
Nice.
So my first run at the slip and slide, I did a straight slide, Drew, where you kick out your left foot, put your leg underneath.
You know? Like a baseball slide.
Yeah, so you can pop up.
Sure.
Well, pop-up
slide.
It was a pop-up slide. Problem is, it's racist towards left-handed people because the hose goes in on the right side. So my right foot's kicked underneath me.
Oh, got caught on something?
Caught on the hose. Just cut it all over.
Ah, jeez.
It's all swollen now.
Oh, blood on the slip and slide then.
Blood on the slip and slide.
Nice.
Charlotte was like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, totally fine. I want to cry, but I'm totally fine.
Well, you know how I felt at Starbucks.
Yeah, no,
actually, it wasn't in serious pain, but I should have thumbs up the crowd.
Yes, when they're carrying you out.
Please enjoy your coffee. Don't worry about me.
Well, little kid, you don't.
Okay.
I don't want them to think you're ever hurt.
No.
That you don't want that myth to get blown up early.
I mentioned Dan Evans emailed us these bits from the old show on Riff.
Thank you, Dan.
And they were really good. He definitely likes a certain type of bit, either farts or someone being pounded on. but you know what he sent? He sent Dustin Diamond.
Oh, no.
And he's looking for the original Dustin Diamond. He sent me the one where I called him an asshole and he hung up.
Is this the part about his land deal that he wanted us to get involved in? That's the one he's looking for?
It was the one. Yeah, that's the one he's looking for. He sent the one where, okay, we're already wary of him from the previous time. He wanted us to call this bank and curse out this loan officer. I'm like, yeah, I really understand the in and outs of your land contract. Come on, really? It was ridiculous. Then he calls back, and when we start getting into his financial issues, he said, I don't have any financial trouble. I mean, everything we said was wrong. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you said in the book. I didn't say it in the book. And it's like, no, you did say it in the book. You said it on this page in the book. And then Mike referenced a picture in the book. And he's like, that picture's not in the book. And Mike's like, I'm looking at the picture in the book. He was being such an ass. Wow. And finally I said, you're just being a complete asshole. And he just hung up. And then I think we spent another 30 minutes talking about what an ass he was. With people calling in that he had. Oh, he also claimed that being the cover of People magazine with the reunited group, I didn't want to go. I had a gig in front of 2,200 people. And he said something to the effect that, you know how many times I've been on People magazine? And it turns out I don't know that he has been on the cover of People magazine. He might have been in the little square picture in the corner.
He didn't say. I think he was legitimately asking you, how many times I've been on the cover of People magazine?
But he implied that he had a paid gig for 2,200 people. And then everyone that called in said he was playing in a cafeteria for 50 people. He was pizza joint and there were 10 people there. Because I think I may have started this thing in a downward spiral because I was asking what venues he plays at because I did not believe. I was trying to gently see that, are you really playing for 2,200 people? I didn't believe it, and I think I was onto something.
Well, at least he was nice when we talked to him on the podcast, too.
I know. I wonder what he's doing now. Can you take a look and see if he's still on tour and where he's playing? And I'm gonna read you Lisa's email. Lisa says, keep up the good work. Stay away from the buzz board. What a bunch of idiots. My condolences on the passing of little Bill to Brandon.
Thank you.
What a cute little nugget he was. I'm sorry for Brandon, Kristen's, and Madeline's loss. By the way, Madeline's favorite song is Telephone Line. Can you really gauge what her favorite song is? I've had a couple emails about that.
Telephone Line, the live version from Wembley. Is her. I swear to God, I'm not bullshitting you.
Why doesn't she like the studio version?
She just doesn't get that pop like she does with the live version. The live version, she just lights up. She loves it. She laughs through it. I mean, really? I play her a whole bunch of songs all the time.
What part makes her laugh?
Maybe it's the do-do-do-do-do, phone dialing.
Right when she hears that opening, she just gets a huge smile on her face, and she loves the tune.
You can tell that with little kids. So Annie likes Feel Good Inc. by the Gorillaz. Bobbing and dancing. Cool. Although, I noticed yesterday I had the Indy 500 on, and they started the national anthem, and she did the same dance. So I'm like, maybe she just hears any kind of music and just does that silly dance.
Anyway, Lisa goes on, I heard you speaking about the Fabio Santomilli murder story on Friday's show. Fabio is the hairdresser, internationally known hairdresser, whose wife was having a fling with this guy on the sex register, whatever that thing is called, in California, who left a drop of blood at the murder site. He came in, killed Fabio with a friend of his, stole the security information, which was in a hiding place in the garage. I mean, seemed inside.
And then how to find it.
And then he's at the vigil. People going, who's that guy that she's talking to all night, who has a bandage on his hand? And they're on the phone constantly. So anyway, she got nailed, and they're about to go on trial. She says, Fabio was a friend of mine, a close friend of mine. Wow. We worked together at Wella, where he was vice president of education for 15 years. Ooh! He wished me well when I went to Hemp's, and we stayed in touch until his death.
Oh, she's the Hemp's girl.
Yeah.
Cool.
I know, it ain't all about me, sweetheart. It was horrific. His wife is seriously the worst. She was a wolf in sheep's clothing, was ultimately jealous of his success and his vivacious personality. To set it up for their 16-year-old daughter to find him laying bleeding out is unfathomable. Yeah, that was the incredible thing. The daughter, she waited while the daughter came home and discovered him dead. Her daughter and his daughter. He was one of a kind, beloved by all. We really miss him. This loser she was having an affair with is a load like no other. They're seeking the death penalty for them both. Wow, I didn't realize it was a death penalty case. All of us who knew and loved Fabio are watching the case with bated breath. Her trial schedule will start this summer. I hope she fries! Anyway, I felt compelled to send some pics of Fab and I. His smile shows how warm and loving he was.
Please continue to follow and report on this case as it progresses. I love the true crime mix in the show. I'm True Crime Junkie. Aren't so many of us. Podcast and recommends The Last Days of August. It follows the suicide of porn star August Ames. Brandon, she references, Brandon was so upset when she died, if I remember correctly.
I remember her.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
She was a talent, man.
I don't know how you made it through that show.
It was sad.
Indictment below of Monica for your reading pleasure. Keep it stiff, guys. And, of course, Trudy, love you also.
Ah.
Let me know if you want to re-up on the hemp supplies. I'm using the hemp shampoo.
Cool.
And
it smelled really good.
She takes a good picture, too. There she is with Fabio there.
Oh. Wow.
She sounds hot.
Yeah, she totally is.
Yeah. And there she is with Fabio there.
Oh, wow. Oh, very cute.
Yeah.
Nice.
There she looks like she's with Fabio there. I thought, why is something going
nice.
With Fabio there? But then there's another.
Well, they work together?
Yeah, they work together.
Hairdressers, I think. And
but then you see this picture, you go, no, they're not a couple. Sorry, Lisa, I'm just kidding. But you looked a little chummy with Fabio in one picture, but the rest of them look very professional.
To answer your Dustin Diamond question.
Yes.
So I don't see recent shows. I do see shows as recent as St. Patrick's Day, but nothing like upcoming. It looks like he was at the Barry Robinson Theater in Virginia Beach, where he opened for headliner Honest John.
I don't know who Honest John is.
Who the hell is Barry Robinson?
I do see on his Twitter, though, that he's a huge Final Fantasy, the video game fan. So he posts all day long about Final Fantasy, All the Bravest. I think it's a mobile game. But he doesn't have any new gigs that I see.
Mm. Oh, what's the Barry Robinson Theater look like?
Let me take a look.
2,200? Yeah, who is Barry Robinson?
He's got an amazingly small social media footprint. He barely tweets. He doesn't
Does he have
own
a lot of Twitter followers?
14,000.
I would think he'd have more. I will pass him. I will make it my life's mission to pass him on Twitter. And I do believe I will.
But he rarely tweets. He's got 2 Instagram posts. Yeah, so good.
Nobody cares.
Thank God.
That true crime story about Fabio reminds me, because we got about 15 minutes to Gary. I was watching a story on ID, and it was about this Muslim family, and I think it was New York, and it was one of these things where the father traveled a lot for work. He did pretty well, and when he was gone, his son was in charge of his wife and his kids. His son was like, 16, 17, but of course, it's one of those where, the females are shit.
Right.
And so he was also supposed to watch his daughter, his sisters. And he was kind of the enforcer. And he would strike his sister.
Oh.
Because she was getting too flirty with some guy.
Really?
She wore white. He said he gave her a valentine and a rose, which he hit her for. Said, sluts are for roses, or flowers are for sluts or something, and hit her.
Oh.
And then, because he knew it was from a guy. And then he had said, wear white tomorrow if you're interested. And so she wore white. Of course, it was traditional garb, but it was white. So anyway, this little thing starts, and I mean little, and then one day nobody was home, and she took him home.
Ooh.
Yeah, big mistake. The brother comes home.
Oh, boy.
And he's hiding in a box, I think. A big box. And the brother finds him. And so all hell breaks loose. And in fact, I think she moved out of the house. She was so terrorized by her father and brother, she moved out, and then they said, let's let bygones be bygones. Let's go to Niagara Falls. So they go, and then somehow, in the middle of the night, the girl, who is now 18, her sister and the au pair, maid, live-in, whatever, 4 girls.
Uh-huh.
Somehow, for some reason, they drive in the middle of the night to go somewhere, and they end up in a lake, drown, all 4 of them. It's like, what? What the hell happened? Well, then they find out that they all have some sort of bruises on the top of their heads. They've been beaten somehow.
Oh.
Yeah, and then they notice that, there's some reflective, like, headlight glass by the water. Well,
they pushed the car in the water. It wouldn't go in, so they drove the second car and hit it to push it all the way in.
Oh, my God.
What the hell happened that night?
Killed the three daughters. They were honor killings. They felt that the family had no honor because of this girl making out with this guy or whatever they did. They didn't even have sex because she had this guy in the house. There was the honor was lost. Also, oh, I'm sorry. When she moved out, they were supposed to get married, and no one from his family showed up. So they said, nope, no marriage. This is dishonorable. No one is here from his family.
Jeez.
So they wouldn't let the wedding go forward. So then it was after that that they went on this trip. Turns out the fourth woman, who was 52, was the husband's first wife, and she couldn't bear him children, so he married a second woman, and the first one just stuck around, and they wanted her gone because...
Because she was hanging around.
Well, she did all the... She helped raise the kids and clean and all that baloney, but I think it was because she would be entitled to something if she left him. So he didn't want her to leave him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, it was just this incredible, like, honor killing? So you killed the two other girls are just collateral damage, I guess.
Where was this at?
It was in New York, and they were in Canada when the four of them were drowned.
Okay, I was going to say, I remember there were a couple, like, honor killings in a row, like, outside the Toronto area, like, for a while. But I don't know, I think this one was a different one.
Well, I was reading more about it, and honestly, there were tons of them came up.
But for some reason, the Toronto area is a hotbed for honor killings.
The Shafia family, is that?
Yes. Yep. That was really horrible, man. I could not believe that story. Wow. I was thinking, how is this thing going to end? Is this girl... The guy's going to kill the daughter because he can't have her because they canceled the wedding. And then I'm like, wait, four of them?
What an oxymoronic and by the term. Way, honor killing.
I know. The second wife was in on it.
Well,
the new Mrs. Shafia was in on it.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, we need our honor back. Absolutely. Kill these three bitches. And they're her daughters. Her daughters.
Ugh.
And the first wife. She was in on it. She was at the site of the... When the car went in, she was there. Jeez. And they got that from surveillance because, God, Canada, Canada's pretty good. They said, can you come back up here? You know, we thought you might want to see what we found out at the murder site.
Uh-huh.
So when they got there, they put up a fake surveillance camera. It was really obvious.
Uh-huh.
And they said, well, we're waiting for the results of the surveillance to come back.
Oh.
And so
they start to get nervous. And
while they're there, you know, looking at where you know, this is horrible. Oh, my God, they all drone here. They put a listening device in the car. So as soon as they got in the car, they're like, it was too dark. That surveillance thing couldn't see a thing. And the mother said something to incriminate herself.
Wow.
And
yes, they never thought they were going to get caught. We caught them.
But Canada does stuff like that.
Didn't they do? Wasn't there another true crime thing we're talking about? Where
the guy in Washington
who
killed the other guy's family nude.
Yeah, that's right.
And then they went to Canada like 3 days later
and
started a new life over there. And they had this, the Canadian mob, like, bumped into this guy, became friends with him. And they're like, yeah, well, you want to be in the mob? And the guy's like, yeah, I'd love to be in the mob. So then just when he's about to get into the mob, they say, we've done a background check on you. And you've got this little black mark. Looks like they got something on you killing his family in Washington. So tell us everything, and it's cool. We'll cover it for you.
Oh.
So then he spilled how they did it.
Wow.
Yeah, and that was the one thing that they really didn't realize is that they couldn't figure out, how did he not get anything on any clothes? And turned out he was nude when he beat them all with baseball bats.
Oh, sick.
Including the retarded special needs daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And then he took a shower and put his clothes back on. So that's how he didn't get any...
He was caught. I'm very proud to say we caught him.
I can't imagine your last view of life is a nude asshole coming at you with a baseball bat.
And he thought he was hot. Did.
Was he
Chicks
close?
Dug this guy.
Was he?
Well, I don't think he's hot. Oh, you know what? That guy, God, I know, I watch too much true crime. He ended up banging his lawyer.
Really?
In fact, the case was delayed because she spent a year preparing for this big case, and they're fighting that Canada had lied to him and stung him and all that. And then they find out that, oh, he's having sex with her.
So legally...
In the prison. Wherever they met, he was nailing her.
Really?
Yeah. So she had to be blown out as his attorney.
Huh.
So this thing went on and on and on and on.
Did Do they always have to blow you out as your attorney if you're mixed up with the client?
I think if they find out, it's... I think she's a public... No, she wasn't a public defender, was she? I don't know. I'm not sure. Because I wondered about that myself. I thought, well, it seems like she'd do an extra good job because she likes getting nailed by him. Mm. She'd want to get him out. So he'd do it more often.
Right.
Oh, boy. There were... You know, it was kind of a slow weekend, generally speaking. The Raptors won in the...
Yeah, it was a good game.
East, they're the East champions, yeah.
Yep.
That was a good game.
For some
I
reason...
I thought Milwaukee was going to win that game.
Well, they were up 2-0 in the series at one time, Toronto won.
I mean, but
straight.
They were up in that game by 13, I think, in the first quarter.
And boom goes the dynamite.
Why? Second quarter?
Why don't they play game one till Thursday? They're going to be off.
That was the first thing I said, Mark. It's like, what is all this? And there's two open dates between every game.
I know. It's asinine.
Yeah. Stanley Cup Finals start today.
They do, yeah.
Amen. I don't even know who's in the Stanley
Cup Finals. It's the Blues and the Bruins. So
the Blues, that's
right. I'm really pulling for St. Louis because I'm sick and tired of Boston winning every... It's been 100 days since their last championship. I mean, screw those guys.
I will root for the Blues.
We should call that one guy...
Spike King?
The Spike King.
Oh, yeah, Spike
probably
King.
Probably losing his mind over
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
They win championships it's gotta be a Bruins all fan. The time. The Celtics have won recently in the past... Well, not that recently, but... You know, obviously the Patriots, the Bruins have won. I'm sick and tired of them.
The Blues have never won. They've never won it.
No.
They were in the finals when Scotty Bowman coached the expansion team, I believe.
The early
the first
70s?
Couple of years? Yeah. No, late 60s, late like 67, okay. 68.
Oh, 69, like with, was that Bobby Orr doing the Superman?
Well, they might have, no, I think that happened a couple of years later. They lost in the finals, the Blues did, to Rangers or maybe Canadians? I'm not sure.
Huh.
But the point is the Blues have never won a championship. And I was going to root against them because they've adopted the song Gloria by Laura Branigan.
Yeah.
That to me
is that's right. Oof.
Not
worst
forgivable.
Song. Whatever.
And the reason sounded dumb, too, like somebody heard it after they won a game that started a winning streak.
What does it have to do with anything? Either.
Nothing. Ooh, absolutely nothing.
Although I imagine Sweet Caroline has nothing to do with
not particularly
baseball either.
I think what it was is like some of the players, they were in last place in January and they started rocking this song and then they got hot.
Who started rocking this song though? I want that person cut.
I thought I heard it was a few players at a bar or something.
Not start rocking it because you can't rock this song.
Yeah, you can't rock this song.
This song is unrockable.
So they're going to probably play this in a pregame show. And
what a buzzkill.
At the Blues Arena, they'll be playing like crazy.
Neat.
Not happy about this development.
Yeesh.
Otherwise, I'm kind of interested because it's amazing. The Blues, since 67, I think, was their expansion year, or 66. Oh, how stupid. I think I'm for the Bruins.
No way. The Red Sox just won the World Series. No, we don't need any more Boston championships.
I am kind of sick of Boston. And Boston used to cry like babies. We won anything. The Red Sox won since 1918. The Patriots never. And the Celtics won 9 times in 11 years in the 50s to 70 or something. The Celtics were incredible. They won championships in the 70s, 80s. So it wasn't like they were completely dry.
Little roller up along first. Behind the back. It gets Buckner. Here comes
Great moment in Boston sports. Great quality, too.
WAAF was having a party at the general manager's house when Bill Buckner booted that ball.
Really?
And you have never seen so many excited people. Because they didn't they need 3 outs?
Yeah.
And
I hate this, though. They could have won game 7.
You're right.
No one ever talks about that.
No one remembers Game 7 either. And Game 7 was rained out for 2 nights, too, I believe.
Oh,
so
really?
It was delayed, and then they finally played. And the Red Sox led Game 7 3-0, I believe.
I still think 86 has the best postseason of any sporting year that since I've been alive.
86 is amazing.
So you have the Angels, which was it Donnie... who ended up committing suicide? The pitcher,
Donnie Moore.
Moore committed suicide. That was a great series.
It had so to be. Much so he committed
suicide. Yeah.
Yeah. Reggie Jackson was on. No, Reggie. Was Reggie in the Angels in the 80s? No.
Was that when the Queen was visiting? Nordberg was in charge of her. Wait. Wasn't Reggie in that movie? Yeah, he was going to kill the Queen.
Why am I thinking? I think Reggie was on the 82 Angels.
Well, you had the Astros and Mets, which was phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. Nolan Ryan pitched amazing. Yeah. Mike Scott was amazing. Lenny was on fire. Anything involving Lenny Dykstra is exciting.
Right. That 86 Mets team is awesome. There's
a large, a huge development involving Bill Buckner that we'll get to in a minute. It doesn't get any. Bill Buckner died.
Development.
A huge development.
Bright.
The last development.
Here one day, gone one night, gone too soon.
I was doing a tease and I realized we're not on the radio. This is coming tomorrow. Everyone will know he's dead by the time they hear it, probably.
He did redeem himself, though.
Bill Buckner.
Yeah. Oh, how you doing?
Nice to meet you.
This is amazing that you're here. I can't believe it. I had an incident at a softball game that was very similar to what you went through.
Very similar.
You always happen in the World Series in front of millions of people, but nevertheless, the ball went through my legs and cost us the game. It was humiliating, and people were insulting me. And
I'm sorry to hear that.
I can't believe I'm seeing you here. How did you deal with all that stuff?
You know, were you giving your best effort? You know, it's a team game. Those things happen. You just got to forget about it.
Jeez, you have a really good attitude. I'd love to talk to you about this. Do you got a minute?
You know, actually, I was about ready to take a break for lunch, yeah.
Can I walk out with you?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Oh, okay. I just got to get Mookie's autograph.
I'll get it for you.
Oh, great. Thanks.
Yeah, that guy owes me one.
Hey, Buckner, you suck.
Hey, have a nice day, fellas.
Nice catch.
Jerks, huh?
Of course he's in New York.
Oh, my God. How do you put up with that?
Hey, just get used to it.
Fuck you, Buckner.
Hey.
You stink.
Ah, so do you.
Hey. Don't worry about it, Larry. You know, you're going to drive yourself crazy.
Terribly sorry. Are you Bill Buckner?
Yeah.
Herman here is from Boston. He's a big Red Sox fan, and he can't be in the same room with Bill Buckner. I'll have to ask you to please leave.
Are you serious?
I'm really...
Are you for real?
October 1986.
Jesus Christ, 2 outs.
Larry, don't worry about it. Hey, they can't help themselves.
Yeah, you're damn right.
Yeah, we can't help ourselves. Don't let the door go through your legs on the way out, Buckner.
Sure.
I only regret I can't ruin your life before you leave.
Hey, you won 2 world championships since then, huh? That's not enough for you?
Three. Should have
been three. Come on. Should have been three.
Should have been three.
Let's go.
I kept the part out, too, when Larry tosses him the Mookie Wilson signed ball, and Buckner doesn't catch it, and it goes out the window. It's supposed to be a gift for Jeff. It's a phenomenal episode.
Oh, man.
Mr.
Billy
Softy.
Buck. You know, he came up, he was a super speed demon, first baseman outfielder with the Dodgers in 69, and he was with the Dodgers till 76, and he had stolen base numbers. He stole 31 bases in 74.
They see why he left the Dodgers?
He busted up his ankle.
Well, Garvey was the up-and-comer, so they moved him out to left field, which is kind of interesting. So he's like, well, I'm not probably going to play first base. I'm out of here. And then he left the Cubs because Bull Durham was coming up at first base. So he's like, I'm out of here.
Well, the thing about him playing the outfield, he was a super speed demon. He had 31 stolen bases in 74, 28 stolen bases in 76. He hit 301, and then he busted that ankle up really bad. And he was gimpy the rest of his career, really. But, you know, in 80, he was the National League's leading hitter, 324, won a batting title, hit 311 in 81, 306. I mean, he was a consistent 300 to 290 hitter. And with Boston, he powered up a bit. He hit 16 homers for 110 ribbies, 18 with 102 RBIs. He had some really nice years. 2,700 hits in his career. He had a long, solid career. He was a really good left-handed stick. Unfortunately, he's
sweet,
for one
mustache.
He had the porn awesome mustache, no doubt. I loved watching him play. I loved watching him hit. He was just a real solid left-handed hitter.
Yeah.
Hit third for the Cubs until he left the Cubs right before the 84 division champs, too. They unloaded him for Bull Durham, who let a ball go between his legs.
That's right.
And that was in the San Diego series.
Yeah, 84.
Which helped San Diego get to the Tigers in the World Series. So, oh, my God. Everything seems to be connecting with a big red bow. And the Hall Financial Hotline is open, too. We'll be talking to Gary Graff in a minute. Call Hall Financial 248-308-5000 if you need a refi, or go to our website and click the link. Fill out the online form. They'll get back to you mighty fast. Or go to drewandmike.hallfg.com. Meanwhile, Gabara and Maz and the gang at Zodford and Holly have kicked off the famous Memorial Day celebration. This means some of the best deals of the year in full effect at Zodford and dealsnad.com. Plus, to commemorate Memorial Day properly, if you're active military, a veteran, a police officer, or first responder, you save an additional $1,000 to $1,500 off Zodford's ridiculous low advertised price. So go lease a new 19 Ford F-150 Supercrew 4x4 as low as $144 a month, or a 19 Ford Explorer XLT as low as $185 a month, or a 19 Mustang Coupe at the lowest payment in years, according to Guevara, just $236 a month for that hot 19 Mustang Coupe. Don't forget active military, veterans, police, first responders, save even more. Get details and surf their massive inventory at dealsinthed.com. And Luke Nowacki is standing by waiting for you when you decide that, you know, I can't keep putting this off. I don't have a financial plan. I got no idea how my kids are going to pay for school. I make some money, but I seem to spread it all around. I don't know where it goes. My wife works or my husband works, whatever it is. Luke Nowacki would love to help you come up with a financial plan, or he's helped Trudy get health insurance and make a decision.
Oh, yes, he did.
He's helped people with life insurance. He's even had people, he doesn't do this himself, but he's directed people to make a will. All those tough financial decisions that you need to make, you might want a team like Luke Nowacki's team. You can call them at 248-663-4748 for a complimentary consultation. Or you can email Luke at lnowacki, L-N-O-W-A-C-K-I, at pinnaclewealthstrategies.com. Security Investment Advisory Services offered through Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC. Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated, separately owned, and other entities, and our marketing names, product services referenced here, are independent of Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated. Sounds like Mr. Big Stuff, Gary Grab.
Shouldn't this be a recovery day for Gary? I mean, he was at Movement all weekend.
Yeah.
How about right now?
Oh, you're down there now?
Yeah. I delayed my ecstasy hit for you guys.
Gary, does Jim DeRogatis in Chicago, does he go to all these shows like you do?
No.
I knew it. Nobody can go to as many shows. You've been doing this a long time, and you're still out there on the streets.
I try to be.
No, I got to tell you, I follow you on Twitter, which is Graph on Music, correct?
Right, correct.
Graph on Music. Anything you want to know about local events, musically, all the gigs, Gary is all over it at Graph on Music. He's a very good follow, plus all your columns with Billboard and Oakland Press and whatnot.
Gary?
Yeah, we try to spread it out there, you know?
Yeah, how's the crowd for that event? That's been
It's been good. It's always big. I mean, these are people who, you know, rain is no deterrent. Fact, it's probably, listen, if you're, you know, especially if you're doing Movement right, you're not even noticing if it's wet or dry.
what's better, the music or the people watching?
It is kind of hand in hand. I mean, it's magnificent people watching. I've lost track of how many unicorns I've seen. And there's been walking shrubbery. But it's, you know what? It's a great crowd. They have a lot of fun. They really dig the music, and it's just, you know, it's one of the great things that happens around here.
Mm-hmm. Are the glow sticks still around?
Oh yeah, glow sticks and whatever the dealy boppers are that these guys kind of, they're on, I don't even know what they're called, but they're on strings and they kind of juggle and do aerobic stuff with it. I just try not to be hit by them, but.
What about pacifiers?
There's still pacifiers. There's a lot of hula hoops. Yep.
That seemed like kind of a giveaway to me.
I noticed in looking at all the pictures, I feel like nobody has their natural hair color. It's just a different color dye. Like blue usually seems to be the big color.
And pink.
Blue or and pink.
Purple, yeah.
I'm just envious they have hair to dye.
I feel the same way, Gary. We have the Who coming, and I want to talk about the Who, but, you know, we have a pretty full schedule now laid out for us. And we'll go over it maybe in a week or so, but is there a show or two that you're most excited about this summer, or a bill that has a couple people that you go, ooh, that's a great bill?
There are quite a few. I think, you know, Alice Cooper and Hailstorm is going to be a good one. Hootie and the Blowfish and Bare Naked Ladies, I'm really looking forward to. The Who I'm looking forward to seeing again. I saw opening night in Grand Rapids.
Ooh.
And And so I'm looking forward, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing what they've done with it since opening night. There's about, you know, it's an interesting summer in that there are going to be some stretches without shows in them, and then there are going to be 9 days in a row with multiple shows.
Oh. I wanted to ask about the Who, though. Is Roger Daltrey making the smoking weed thing a lecture on each stop of the tour?
It doesn't sound like every show. It happened in New York, but then, of course, it got a lot of attention.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll tell you, I've seen him do the. I remember seeing him in Windsor on one of his own shows. And he spoke about that, you know, and asked people in the front to stop. I think it's legit. I think he actually does. He actually is allergic to it to the point that it damages the performance.
Well, couldn't they announce that before the show instead of having curse out?
You would think they would.
Some partier. Some innocent partier in the front row having a good time and Daltrey's harshing him out.
But now he can be the guy. Now that guy is the guy who can be, I'm the one Daltrey yelled at.
Oh, I see.
Which is better than being the guy who Daltrey didn't yell at.
Well, there's, there's that.
Yeah.
How about DTE? I know Bob C. Does Bob have four dates out there?
Six
dates.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Is there a chance there will be seven or eight?
No. This will be it.
Is this really it?
Or unlikely, and I'll tell you why, because they have a concert in Tacoma that was postponed earlier this year because of weather. And they have said they're going to make that up. It's, even though it's the only date they have to make up, they've promised to make it up, and they're not going to go out and just do one show. So there will be some more shows later in the year.
Why does it seem like Bob is having more fun doing this than he ever did?
I think having announced that this is it has taken a certain onus or pressure off of him that he maybe felt before when he was in full on active mode, and maybe now just then, having said, okay, this is the last time through, there's a pressure off him, and then he's also taking the time, I think, to step back and maybe enjoy it a little more and appreciate it. Not that he didn't before, but I think now he's allowing himself to appreciate it more.
Besides Bob Seger, what would be a really tough ticket to get at DTE or any of our venues this summer?
This summer, I'm not feeling anything that's like, oh, my God, I can't get this ticket yet.
Well, how important?
Go ahead.
I was just saying, how about Peter Frampton? I mean, this is seemingly the last one.
Yeah, but he's a guy. It is the last one, and I think it's an important show. But he's also a guy people have seen a lot of.
Yeah,
you know, he's here almost every summer. So it's not the we haven't seen him in a while, and he's not going to be around anymore. So I don't think that's the same kind of thing as a Bob Seger who hasn't been, takes years between tours and now says this is it.
Well, I sure would like to get Peter Frampton on the podcast. He's a really fun interview. But
you should send him a message on Twitter.
Oh, okay.
Oh, there you go.
Maybe Trudy should send him a message on Twitter.
I'll do that.
He will. Peter's very responsive on Twitter.
Oh, maybe we get everyone to send him a message. Well, then he might get
that's a great idea.
Yeah, we've had some great times.
You can really let me big stuff it. You tell him you're friends of mine.
Oh.
And I promise he'll respond.
Why don't you just tweet him for us?
Yeah, I can't promise what he'll respond with. But.
Okay. Sounds good, Gary. Well, you're really putting your ass on the line there.
For that one, I will. Because he's not going to be around anymore. So, what do I care? I did my interview already,
Oh, of course you did yours already.
If he decides he hates me, what do I have to lose on this one?
You posted after while you were at Sammy Hagar and the Circle that there's only one way to rock, which
Sammy's way is a pretty good way to rock. Let me tell you, especially when Sammy has served you some of what Sammy does before the show.
Oh, he did. Ooh, you got an exclusive tasting.
Whoa,
I did.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I don't want to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say someone last night. Might have been on Facebook or might have been on Twitter, but they had a really close-up picture of Eddie Money at DTE, and they said, what's wrong with Eddie? He looks thin. He looks old. And somebody else came back and said, wow, I just saw Sammy Hagar, who's the same age, and Sammy seems so young and alive, and Eddie seems kind of like he's phoning it in. He wasn't talking to the crowd, et cetera, et cetera. And I meant that more as a positive to Sammy, because I like Eddie Money.
Sure.
But he is 70. I mean, geez.
And he's damaged. Eddie is damaged. And Sammy is not.
Wait, what's the damage part?
Yeah, drugs, alcohol. Habits of the past.
Okay.
The kids are certainly an issue.
So he's kind of worn out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of over Eddie Money. I think he's had a good career. He has a nice body. He has a nice body of work, but. It's gone as far as it can. Don't hang it up to his listeners.
But they can't open DTE without any money.
Somehow they managed to. Yes. I'll tell you, Flay Slayer was a pretty good opener this year. We went, I guess we went from 2 tickets to paradise, 2 tickets to hell. You know.
And Gary, but, allegedly, Sammy Hagar, there was a Drew Blows beach ball on the stage.
No, it wasn't allegedly. I saw it with my own eyes.
He brought it.
And there was a I didn't bring it. Which makes it even better, because then it's not a setup. But yeah, there was a beach ball with a bunch of stuff written on it. But one of the things very clearly was Drew Blows.
Cool.
Nice.
Yes.
Yeah. No,
someone
we
else
loved it.
Tweeted that out as well.
Yeah.
We have to talk to what's his name? Felix?
Jeffrey Felix.
Jeffrey Felix in a few minutes, and I know you're always busy, so I'll go ahead and get to the last item. Unless is there something else pressing? Before I get to Fran.
Well, no, I mean, I think it was the last item's Fran, so that's the pressing
yeah,
thing.
Okay. Yeah, that's Fran, who we interviewed last week, Fran Belkin, and she's
who, by the way, liked talking to you guys very much. She said you sound like very fun people.
Oh, good. Cool.
Boy, did we fool her.
We love her book.
You did. That was my line, Mark.
Great minds.
She's absolutely right, and Rock This Town was a really fun book, and hopefully you guys have a nice crowd tomorrow at Third Man Records. And you know,
Wednesday at Third Man Records.
God,
And also Thursday at a Dutch Shalom Synagogue in Farmington Hills.
Okay.
So it's a Fran Belkin twofer.
And I had all the great information, you know, $20, you get the backstage laminates,
right.
You get the book, you get something else. But how do you get that? Is there a website you go to?
The package you get, that's on brownpapertickets.com. And then you go to rockthistown.bpt.me. And we'll send it to you for the show notes, too. But rockthistowndetroit.bpt.me. And then you get the book, you get a souvenir bag, you get VIP seating so that if Fran or I spit, you're in the zone. She's not going to like that when she hears this. Fago is involved in this. So it's a nice way to see. And that's for Third Man Records. That's for the Third Man thing only.
Okay.
You know, the synagogue thing, you get a few snacks afterwards. But
and Gary, did you do one gig with Fran already?
No, we did an interview, and that's in the Oakland Press yesterday, and it's at theoaklandpress.com today, and will be on my assorted social media sometime soon. Movement.
We had our interview on Wednesday.
Yeah,
did you have yours before Wednesday?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, of course you did.
But we held it.
You cannot fox him.
Impossible. No, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who's first. But she is, you guys talked to her, you know the story. I mean, just first of all, Belkin. She comes from an era, and this whole thing is about an era of concert promotion that doesn't exist. Belkin Productions in Cleveland and in Detroit, and in Buffalo for that matter, was one of the companies that invented rock and roll touring as we know it now. You know, they were a regional promoter that created the way shows are promoted and produced. And, you know, it's like Brass Ring was up here. And in the day and age now of the conglomerates of Live Nation and AEG, it's just not the same thing. And what Rock This Town as a book, you know, illustrates is that deeply personal connection the promoters had with the acts. And you see that in the book, via all that great exclusive swag, which, by the way, another reason to go to Third Man, the swag is going to be on display.
Amen.
At Third Man, some of it. And you know, the stories about the special parties they threw and the relationships, you know, they have and still have. I mean, Fran and Jules, her husband, you know, will be hanging out with The Who on Tuesday night.
Of course they will.
Well, sure, and they should. I mean, they produced, you know, they produced the first concert at the Pontiac Silverdome, which was The Who in 1975.
No, a lot of history with Fran and Jules, and the book is a lot of fun, and she was a great interview, and it's just one of those corners of the business that's really fun to take a look at. I mentioned my interview with the guy who wrote the book. He wrote the Rolling Stones fanzine, and the Stones ended up hiring him, and his book was so much fun to read because he really had a side of the business that you never hear about. So I love those people who share, you know, this sort of strange corners of the rock and roll business, and Fran did a great job, and I hope you guys have a great crowd.
We do too.
Yeah, of course. And you want to give out the information one more time? It was a little much. I couldn't even write it all
down.
Sure,
well, yeah, no, it was at brownpapertickets.com, and the event is rockthistowndetroit.bpt.me.
Wow. And you can see Mr. Big Stuff and Fran Belkin.
Fran and Jules Belkin. Jules is coming in for the trip, too.
And Wednesday night. Yeah, and Wednesday night is the gig at Third Man Records, so you can see Third Man Records, too.
I know. There's a whole lot of reason to be there.
Amen. So good luck with that, Gary, Wednesday and Thursday.
Thanks for mentioning it.
You bet, and good to talk to you, as always.
Good to talk to you. You guys have a great holiday.
Thanks,
you
Gary.
Too.
Bye-bye.
You know, another show that was announced last week that I don't think we've talked about yet is Alec Baldwin coming to town.
Mm-hmm. Ah, yes.
Are you excited for that? Did you see how much tickets are?
I did. $84?
Who does he think he is? Who's going to pay $84 to hear
Alec Baldwin?
I don't know what is going on anymore.
I'm kind of intrigued. Is that going to be a hot ticket? Is that going to sell?
Well, we'll find. Can you? Are they on sale yet?
No, not till the
Isn't
end.
Isn't it called Alec Baldwin? A conversation.
yes. No, it's called a hilarious uncensored conversation. Come hear Alec speak his mind on life, politics, Hollywood, POTUS, and more.
I think I remember someone else having a show called The Conversation.
The Clintons.
But was it a hilarious uncensored
radio show on 105.1? Is that called The Conversation?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks for reminding me about that.
Yeah, the Clintons, they sopped up all the money they could. But then also, Michelle Obama, she sold the joint out.
Yeah.
$29 a pop. And that was to talk about her book, which was coming out after that.
Wait, how much of a conversation is Alec Baldwin going to have? He's not going to talk back to you. It's going to be a monologue.
I really don't get it because honestly, can you look up his podcast, Brandon? I wonder if he's even still doing it.
Well, his show got canceled, didn't it?
Yeah, his show was terrible.
Yeah.
And it ran 8 of the 10 episodes. They moved it. It was the lowest rated show on networks for the entire week, the first week it was on. I believe by the third week, they had changed the time slot and then they canceled it. And when they were promoting that show, they kept talking about his high-rated podcast. Yeah. I've never seen his podcast rated. You know, a lot of these people, like Alec Baldwin, they'll sneak into the top 50 or the top 100, and you'll see their name. Oh, it's in, it's out. It's, you know, there's a lot of movement because a lot of it seems to be based on new subscribers.
Yeah, most of it, yeah.
You know, people like us settle in somewhere. I think somebody claimed on BuzzBoard we were ranked 664th, and I asked...
What?
I know. I asked Jason, he said... It depends on the time of day.
Yeah.
Thanks, Brandon.
It has been.
It turns out we were rated, when Jason checked, we were ranked 424. Mm. And then he said we're usually in the 300s when our downloads come in. And then when other shows get theirs, the other thing is, you know what Google Play, Brandon, how we used to be ranked so high in Google Play?
Yeah.
Our downloads are up since then. I'm convinced that our Saturday show is hurting us.
What?
Because we get less downloads on Saturday.
Ooh.
And average downloads, I think, is part of this. If it was total downloads, we have 5 shows a week.
I'm not even going to speculate how they use their algorithm.
I know. Well, I told you about the Bangladesh connection and all that. So
I don't know why we haven't hired them yet.
I know. It pisses me off. Of course I want to go higher.
They won't answer the phone because we can prank call them all the time.
Yeah, they'll know the number.
But, you know, it is interesting that when Mike Clark died, we climbed as high as number 39. I mean, we were passing huge national shows because we had new people who had to subscribe because they hadn't heard the podcast. Well, a lot of those people stayed with us, not all of them, but some did. So we increased our pile. But because those people stopped being new subscribers,
you
start drifting back down. I remember watching us, we're 55, we're 77. And I knew it was going to happen too. And I'm like, we're 96. Oh my God, we won't be on here much longer. And sure enough, we weren't.
At 1067 WLLZ.
Hey! Trudy Daniels on the job for Detroiters by Detroiters.
106.7 Detroit's Wheels.
The BuzzBoard people?
Uh-oh.
Like the people who heard the BuzzBoard conversation who are our listeners are on our WLLZ Twitter. Kyle G says, I hope you can continue to play for WLLZ for airtime. And Walter the Boof announcer says, hope Andrew and Mike podcasts can afford to keep me with all the checks going to WLLZ for airtime.
You're a Mac show.
That's funny. I know
Walter the Boof announcer is on Twitter now.
No.
And I retweeted him. How many followers does Walter have now?
Oh, let's see.
Walter's making a lot of comments.
Yeah, Walter is very active. He's got...
Is Walter getting boner line action?
A little bit here and there, yeah.
Okay.
104?
104 followers?
So far?
What is it at, Walter?
Walter. At Boof RSN.
B-O-O-F, correct?
Yes. Yeah, B-O-O-F. Yeah.
When I urged people to listen on Saturday morning, there were a lot of comments about, yeah, I will listen. I know how much you paid for the time and, you know.
Yeah. That, I think that's funny, though, because that's the Drew and Mike podcast people, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Just making it lighter.
No, I think we're, I think.
And diving in and, you know, kind of with, the, and I think that, didn't that kind of blow up the Buzzboard?
Yeah.
Ill will.
It started a new string on Buzzboard. The first string, we started a brand new string, and it had a lot of... We were on the top of the Buzzboard for a
couple
days.
Made a guy move out of state.
Yes.
Who apparently wasn't that fondly looked at by the other Buzzboardians.
He sounds like he had to have worked, you know, in radio.
Yeah, most definitely. Of them had.
But they've moved on.
Talked about Cume and stuff.
Here's a portion of some of their new threads. All area weathermen forecasters suck!
Yeah.
Yeah, so... I mean, they're always
that's
angry.
A common complaint about
it's. Weatherman. I laugh at how inside this thing is.
Oh,
it's
so, yeah.
These people are clearly people are in the business, and they like to discuss mm-hmm. things that yeah. only people in the business get. Like headphones are called cans. let's see. Now, WNIC string heads. I only had two posts.
WNIC.
Yeah. Oh, no. Let's see. Wait. Station sounds like complete garbage, but I'm sure I bet you that before. Their announcer sounds so annoying. It makes my ears bleed. Their jingles are irritating, too. The imitation of the old fabulous-sounding top-of-the-hour jingle sounds horrible. The bells before the sedated-sounding kid are out of tune and sound creepy.
How much response did that post get?
None.
Oh, my God. Really?
Why are you just,
there's a post.
Why don't you just scream
response.
Into a closet, then?
They're calling themselves the best variety of the 80s, 90s, and today, but now are adding in some 70s music and one or two 60s tunes, I'm assuming, to try and counter the breeze. It sounds so weird hearing that slogan right after Ben E. King or Elton John's Your Song.
Ben E. King.
Yes, Ben E. King. there were some other ones. Breeze. Wait, this one's funny. And I'm not picking on Joanne at WOMC, Joanne Purton.
Oh,
because
yeah.
she seems to be beloved. But this guy says, I always liked Joan Purton on WXYZ. I thought it always stunk that she wasn't used more prominently. My reaction to the current WOMC morning show is simply, bah. Bah. Ebeh. Not B-E-H. Bah. Pretty much the same recycled morning show bits that have been heard in various markets for years. I do like the fact they involve listeners in the show, though. There's something that's been bugging me that I can no longer resist mentioning. Joanne's voice sounds off on radio. She sounds like a decrepit old lady.
Oh.
I know in reality nothing could be further from the truth. I'm just saying that whomever the studio engineer happens to be is doing her no favors at all. Why hasn't Tim Roberts fixed this? Her mic processing should be improved upon.
Well,
mic processing.
Yeah, I love how they dropped the program director's name, too.
Mm-hmm. I work in the business, so I know about things like back processing. It seems to be 98.7 The Breeze had some interesting.
I think
attitude.
I found my favorite thread.
What is it?
Back on May 9th, someone posts 100.3 contest page at nic.com. Went online to WNIC site trying to enter a couple contests, and everything is gone. You know, that's maybe, were they going to flip that whole kind of conspiracy?
Yeah.
That was at 1:47 p.m. At 2 o'clock, the same person posted, maybe I just caught it in an update. Everything's back. It was all national contest at 1:45. Mostly national iHeart contest for country music. Huh. Really wishing I had a screenshot of it now. end of thread. So the guy's having a conversation
with himself.
Yep.
The Breeze, 98.7. Dope, no live personality. Harper? ? Seriously? Very limited use of jingles. Somebody suggested Harper, I think. Get some Harper out of retirement. It's a PPM world now. I'd do many more cult segues. In fact, I'd hand out cash to have it played in stores. They need a weather traffic report every 20 minutes from 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. No yuck yucks in the AM drive. Door PM drive.
Door.
Let's see.
By the way, Jim Harper had a very long post on Facebook about Game of Thrones in the end.
did.
Really?
I didn't see it. Somebody sent it to me.
Like it or thumbs totally down?
Do I like it or does he
like
it?
Did he?
I think he's just, I think he's okay with it.
Oh, really?
Huh. Is Jim living up north?
Someone said it was a very, point one, softest opinion ever. Point two, who gives a fuck? Oh, I cared enough to read it.
More of the breeze. Breakjaw had partnered Stephen Clark to boardings. Then JJ could do boardings at WMC and Boogie Bryan midday there. There's also Bobby and Stacy. Don't laugh, I like them. Oh, wow, Gene Maxwell. I didn't know he was even still in the business. He would be great.
What?
Next post. Art Petal, it's the breeze, 98.7. Baby. Okay. No host or shtick. No host, no shtick. Just music. Come on.
Could just music actually work?
Music?
If there was no other... other bits.
It seems to me that music, I think that's what...
Just music.
I think the whole idea of radio morning show that does everything and is everywhere and, you know,
yeah,
talks a lot and does a lot of crazy bits and makes appearances and then jukebox all day.
Right.
Isn't that been done long enough? I mean, aren't there a million other things competing for the radio ear?
Turn off the radio! Too much, yeah. It seems like you have to be so much smarter and...
Be a little different.
There's so many ways to get people's attention now. Not just podcasting, but, you know, there's Google Play and, you know, Apple, iTunes, and people making their own playlists. And I don't know. There's a long string on here about classic rock, about songs and bands that need to be retired from classic rock because people are so sick of... You know, one guy was saying, I love Pink Floyd, but every time I hear... what is it? The clock on. I'm trying to think. Of the beginning of the song.
Time.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, he says. I just turned the dial immediately. I've heard it 5 million times. Yeah. He mentions all the frequencies a year it's on, and then he's mentioning all the bands that aren't playing. Well, I think we had this conversation quite a few times, and this string went on for a good while. I mean, people found that topic.
It's a great topic.
You always hear it. Why does radio always play the same tracks? And here you have this incredibly glorious period in classic. There you go, in classic rock, and yet there's only 300 songs that are worth playing over and over and over and over and over. Really? And getting specific with bands, I'm trying to remember the Pink Floyd song he was mentioning that nobody played. Oh, Shine on You Crazy Diamond. Does anyone play that?
No.
It's a great song.
It's a great song.
Why does no one play that? I mean, we could go artist by artist, and we could all come up with three or four songs.
Not to mention classic rock's getting new tracks every day as people get older.
Right. Every year you should be able to play another year.
Pearl Jam, Nirvana. I mean, that's all classic rock now.
Absolutely. The feeling I got was people think that the best classic rock is 60s and 70s, so there's that problem that the quality isn't as great as you move forward. And I don't know. I think you're going to attract a younger classic rock listener, and that's, you know, new generation classic rock, which LLZ was playing. I thought that was a great slogan because there are, you know, people in their 40s. Their classic rock is 90s music.
Yeah,
is
guilty.
It really 26 minutes long? No, come on.
Song?
Yeah. Oh, there's a single edit that's 3 minutes and 53 seconds. I think it. There's a lot of different parts of it. It changes tempo.
Oh, yeah.
And
I remember when the CD player isn't set right, it will stop right in the middle.
Right.
When you expect it to go on. Should we get Jeffrey Felix on the phone? Jeffrey is defending O.J. Simpson. Jeffrey wrote, of course, the wonderful book last year, Guarding the Juice. He was his personal guard, or he made it sound like it, at the Nevada facility where O.J. was imprisoned for the armed robbery. And
they were good friends.
They were friends. O.J. ran the rec department.
And now he knows everything about Vegas.
And Jeffrey got close to the juice in Guarding the Juice. And now that Norman Pardo's out there saying that O.J. had sex with Kris Jenner / Kardashian, and that the sex was so injurious, she had to go to the hospital.
I fucked her till I broke her.
The rest of the story was that she said, take me to the hospital. And he said,
get your husband and take you to the hospital.
What an asshole.
Oh, juice.
But he sounded
like,
fits.
Like he was like, I don't feel like driving to the hospital right now. Get your husband to drive it. That's his responsibility.
So Jeffrey came out and said OJ had said that, no, he would never do that to his friend, Robert Kardashian, her husband.
Better one.
This is Jeff.
Is this Jeffrey Felix?
Yes, it is.
Author of Guarding the Juice?
Yes, it is. Good morning, Detroit Radio. Good afternoon to you guys.
How are you doing, Jeffrey?
I'm doing all right. I see OJ's back in the news again.
Yep.
Yeah, I've been reading your name because Norman Pardo has this film coming out, and he's making the claim that OJ not only had sex with Chris Kardashian, but that he injured her and she had to go to the hospital, and he told her to tell Robert Kardashian to take her. And then a lot of the stories say, however, Jeffrey Felix, author of Guarding the Juice, says that he was told by OJ that he would never do that to my friend Robert, as in sleep with his wife. Now, did OJ, you really had a conversation about this?
Yes, we did. We had a conversation right outside of my office about this, and he looked me right in the eye, and obviously he lied to me. And what I've been saying the last few years is I've been predicting that Chloe is his daughter. You know that. You probably read that.
Yes.
Yes.
Wait, I thought you were defending. I thought you were not only guarding the juice, I thought you were defending him and saying that it isn't true that he slept with Chris. But you're saying that he lied to you? But you said he looked you in the eye.
You got it. Well, how many times has he thrown me under the bus? Maybe three? I mean, he put the bus driver uniform on three times and ran me over. He lied to me about passing the lie detector test with LAPD. We all know that. He didn't pass that.
Yeah.
You know, he lied to me about having sex with Chris Kardashian.
He didn't murder you. What more do you want?
What's the third lie?
Well, you know, I think the third lie is that, you know, he wanted to hook up with me when he got out of prison, and he's, you know, telling everybody that he's mad at me, he's upset with me, and there's nothing in my book that makes him look bad.
You went on and on about how hung he is.
That is true. I've never seen anything like that before in my life. I mean, we're all guys. We watch our fair share of porn, you know, at you know, bachelor parties and, you know, places like that.
Oh, as if you and only watch porn at bachelor parties, Jeffrey. Come on.
Jeffrey's watching ebony porn.
My girlfriend might be listening. So, you know, that's the only time you ever watch porn is at a bachelor party, and I never seen anything like that before. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, but you seem to take so much delight in describing how gigantic he is. I mean, couldn't you just mention that he's above average or something? God.
Well, you know, when I've never seen anything like that before.
See, you know can't what I'm stop. Saying? You can't stop talking about how incredible.
Yeah, why don't you just describe the whole thing? You know,
well, I'm not a homophobiac. You know,
I didn't say you wanted to go down on
him. No, that's a dead mission right there. That's not the way this guy rolls. Everybody knows that. But, you know, it would not surprise me that he would, you know, injure Kim. And it wouldn't surprise me if Chloe was his daughter. And I've been predicting that for three years. I've been predicting that.
So you think it's very possible that someone could have gone to the emergency room with the penis in them that you saw?
Yes. Very possible.
Did you have to go
from that?
Did you have to go there too? You cannot stop complimenting him on his penis.
I mean, come on. You, something like that, that'd be like, I wouldn't even know how to describe that thing. When he comes out of the shower in his unit, and he's not wearing a towel, and he tells you, hey, let me go roll my garden hose up. I'll be right back. You know what I'm saying? It's
wait, did he say that?
He did say that.
He used to call it
his garden hose.
That's
yes.
what he would say. Yeah. Little big hose. Let me guess, too. He doesn't need Viagra or Cialis.
I don't know about that.
He never told you?
40%? Well, no. We never really got into that, but we, right, you know, 40% of men over 40, don't they have ED or something, I was told? I see that on TV all the time.
Now, how's his ball bag?
I did not look. Hey, okay, now let's get this clear for Detroit. I didn't stare at it like a shower shark.
Sounds
okay,
like
it just stood out. You know, it would stand out like Iron Mike Tyson's tattoo on his face. It stands out.
Really,
O.J. Simpson. Yes, things like that stand out to people. You know, and this thing just stood out.
Well, I think you could probably go on and on about it less.
We probably could. We need to get back to this prediction that Chloe is his daughter. You know, next week, she should be, you know, sending OJ a Father's Day card instead of, you know, not having the father for Father's Day. Hmm. You know what I'm saying?
So you're in agreement with Norman then that he nailed Chris, but Norman's making it sound like it was just one time when they were in a jacuzzi. Do you think it was more than that?
Absolutely. If OJ tapped that once, he was tapping it like a faucet.
No, Jeff.
Anytime he wanted.
Your speculation there is based on the fact that you guarded the juice, correct?
Correct, and I had long conversations with the juice.
But he said he didn't sleep with her. So, on what basis are you saying he slept with her more than once? That's just your own speculation, okay. Correct? Your own random, irresponsible speculation.
Yeah, he goes way back with Pardo. They're tight. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he told Pardo pretty much everything. He didn't tell me everything. Obviously, you know, he lied to me about a few things, maybe because I was wearing a badge. But I kind of trust Pardo. And what is he coming out with, a book or something?
Norman
Pardo.
Actually, it's a film.
A film, okay.
You sound,
yeah, this is a good way to kick it off.
Would you say that you're disappointed as much as you felt in guarding the juice, you became close to the juice, and also as much as you have promoted his penis, that he would lie to you?
Well, not only did I promote that, but you know, I also, if people want to know why OJ got paroled, they can read my book, Guarding the Juice, available at Amazon, and they can see why he got paroled. You know, he was a good inmate for 9 years behind bars. You know, and I go on with some stories in there, but
no,
you know, but he go ahead.
Norman Pardo also claims that Nicole Brown was involved with Dodi Fayed, Princess Diana's ex.
Oh, I believe that.
When Guarding the Juice, available now wherever books are sold, did he ever tell you about that?
No, we never discussed that.
Boy, Dodi has a type, huh?
Yeah, he does.
Oh, yeah.
Hot blondes.
Wait, all the 9 years that you were guarding the juice, he never mentioned anything about Dodi Fayed?
Never.
Really?
Never mentioned anything about that. He did. OJ's in, he's into women that are managers at nightclubs and bars.
Hmm.
That's what attracts OJ.
Oh.
Waitresses, managers.
We're really talking about Dodi Fayed here.
Yeah. And Nicole.
So, yeah, I guess
he wasn't guarding Dodi.
Yeah, in terms of,
no.
While you were guarding the juice, you really didn't get much information about Dodi Fayed, did you?
No, I did not.
Okay.
Now, when you were guarding the juice, did he talk about other women that he nailed?
Yes. Yes, he did.
Who else? Like, what other women?
What's his prison team photo, according to you?
Well, you know, I told you, he likes to date managers,
we'll drop some names. Come on,
waitresses.
You were guarding the juice
really
for 9 years.
He didn't drop any names. He did. Oh. He never really dropped any names. He just, you know, he got around L.A. You know, he got around Rodeo Drive. You know, all the little restaurants over there, the restaurants in
Rodeo
Huntington
Drive.
Beach.
You mean Rodeo Drive?
Rodeo Drive. I'm sorry. I'm,
I can't
I'm
believe
Nevada,
you were guarding the juice for 9 years and you don't know how to say Rodeo Drive.
Rodeo Drive. Hey, that's my bad on that one.
To his defense.
Did he say that?
It's probably
I was shopping on Rodeo Drive.
That's how he talks when he was guarding the juice.
Yes, there you go.
Jeffrey Felix, the book's called Guarding the Juice, if you hadn't caught the title yet, and it's available on Amazon and anywhere else. Are you getting contacted a lot over this Norman Pardo data?
Yeah, and you guys are the first ones I've spoken to, so
sweet.
I have a little bit of loyalty to you guys. You guys always treat me really good up in there in Michigan.
Well,
so
thank you.
Well, I mean,
yeah, and I'm a big Detroit Wings fan, so the Red Wings. So yeah.
What?
Yeah,
you're not a Golden Knights fan?
I was a Golden Knights fan until they got knocked out, but I also like the Red Wings. But and I really hate the Sharks. I hate the Sharks more than I like the Golden Knights.
Now, does that have anything to do with your hatred of the Sharks or your love of the Red Wings? Does that have anything to do with guarding the juice?
No, it has to do with the Sharks knocking out the Golden Knights this year.
Okay.
Hey, Jeffrey, they depicted him before OJ was released as being really in ill health, but he seemed to be perfect when he got out. He didn't have any problems at all. They said that he was way, way, way overweight and that he didn't have control of his bowels. Was that ever true?
Well, you know, it wasn't that bad. He was overweight for a while, and he knew he was going to be getting out, so I think he just dropped some weight. I think he went back on that salmon and rice diet like he did when him and I were hanging out on the yard. And he wanted to look good when he got out. You know, a lot of times with your health, starts going back to being overweight. And he was probably about 70 pounds overweight at one time.
Are you saying that while you were guarding the juice, you guys ate salmon and rice together?
No, he ate salmon and rice. I was going no sugar. I went on this no sugar diet that I've been on since him and I have been walking the yard, which was probably 10, 12 years ago. So, and I stayed at 190 pounds. Well, he's doing this no sugar thing. Yeah.
So Jeffrey, he's a really targeted person then that he can, hey, I'm getting out. Ooh, hoo, ha, ha, I better lose some weight. So waitresses will give me a second
look. Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't want to, when he wants to get out, when he gets out, he wants to be able to score with the ladies. He can't score with the ladies with a big guy hanging out. Well, it'd be kind of tough.
I don't know. I think he probably can because he's OJ. Because honestly, since he got out, it seems like he's welcome again. It seems like he's out and about. He's having fun. People don't yell murder at him every 5 minutes. Do you know, because you always seem to have some kind of sources in the Vegas area, and Juice is around there. Are you hearing anything about Juice's new lady friends?
No, I have not heard anything. He's been really low-key. I haven't heard a word.
But you always drop something about Las Vegas. Have you heard anything about Mike Tyson, anybody else, any other craziness? The Meek Mill story at the Cosmopolitan? Yeah. Come on, Jeffrey. You've got those feet on the ground in Vegas. You got to spill something.
Isn't that where Juice got in trouble at the Cosmopolitan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and one of my buddies is the assistant food and beverage manager, and he actually got to watch the film for that. The camera film for that. So,
OJ was
from the Cosmopolitan, from when OJ was breaking glasses and nutting up about something.
Oh, where is that? How
at
can
the
you
Cosmo?
Find that?
That was at the Cosmopolitan where he got 86. That was a couple years ago.
Somebody got film of it, though, you said, or video?
Well, yeah. You got to remember every square inch of a Vegas casino has cameras.
Oh, true.
He was just watching the juice, he wasn't guarding them.
No, he doesn't have the privilege of guarding him. He just got to watch him.
Well, maybe he can put out Watching the Juice. He can compile all the security footage around Vegas. I'm disappointed to hear that. What about the Meek Mill story or any other Vegas? You always drop something out of left field every time we talk to you. There's got to be some piece of gossip from Vegas out of you.
You know, I haven't heard anything from Vegas. I'm usually down there quite a lot, but I haven't been down to Vegas in a minute. So I'll be going down there again next month because it's been about 2 months since I see my mom down there. So I'll be going back to Vegas and I'll see what's going on. I'll meet with my buddies down there.
I hope you're not losing your touch.
I got no news, though. No news at all from Vegas.
I'm disappointed. It seems like since you stopped guarding the juice, your information spigot has dried up a little bit.
Yeah, well, maybe the juice will recommit and go back to jail again. That could happen.
Why don't you just try to find him and bump into him and see if he remembers you?
Oh, he will remember me. It would be a I don't know what would happen. Well, That'd be like myself and my ex-wife bumping into each other. You never know how that could explode.
I bet he'd be friendly. He seems, I don't know.
Jeffrey, you ain't got me no more. That's probably what he'd say.
Yeah, you ain't got no power over me anymore.
You want to see this big hog again? Okay.
If he goes back to prison, if he's busted again, would you come out of retirement and re-guard the juice?
Well, here's my prediction. If he does go back to prison, I think my oldest son's going to be working there. So it'll be another Felix guarding the juice once again.
Wow.
Do you think he can take the torch. He can carry the torch.
Do you think
it'll be another one of us?
Is there something in the Felix DNA that makes you good at guarding the juice?
I don't know. We like to be prison guards, so I don't know if we're good at it or bad at it, but it must be in the blood because my youngest boy's talking about it too.
Oh no!
So OJ better behave himself because he's going to be dealing with another Felix behind the razor wire.
How did you do with the book? How many copies have you sold?
I sold a few copies. I did okay with the book.
All right.
What like six copies? Right. Or when you say a few, what does that mean?
A few. I did okay. I went on a few cruises because of the book. I did all right.
Really? That's how you measure sales? Yeah. How many cruises you go on?
Hey, that's a good way to look at it.
$3 something to change.
Yeah, New York Times usually puts the thousands of copies, but Jeffrey has been on four cruises. He sold four cruises worth of guarding the juice.
$10,000.
That's okay. All right. Well, please dig up some more gossip in Vegas. You're our source there, and you're coming up dry now. I want you to either get back to guarding the juice or get your ears on the ground like you used to have. Come on, Jeffrey.
No problem. Hey, okay. I'm on it, guys. I'm on it for Detroit. No problem.
All right. Thanks, Jeffrey Felix. Guarding the juice, available everywhere.
They call me Juice, the Juice.
Thunder in the distance, see a vision of a cross. I feel the pain that was given on a sad day of loss.
Well, whatever's going over there's got to stop.
Lion I love that drop. Darkness,
only he holds a key. Light to free me from my burden and bring me life eternal.
Hey, yeah, man, what's going on? Can I help you?
Should have been there on a Sunday morning.
I'm having a little trouble here.
In my head. No time for mourning. Ain't got no time.
Man up. Stop crying. You want to
be there on a Sunday morning.
Hey, a couple,
they call me Juice.
A few other stories from the last 3 days that we need to just touch on at least. Bart Starr died, the great Packer quarterback, who, the funny thing is I remember growing up and I always thought Starr was the coolest name.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Of Ringo Starr and Bart Starr, who was
Star Chamber.
Star Chamber, only one R. Bart Starr was the quarterback of the Packers in the first two Super Bowls, which they won, and he won five championships as quarterback. He was not as successful as a coach, but he was considered
great. Great Packers. You like the Packers?
And then Dan Gilbert was hospitalized with a stroke or symptoms of a stroke.
Oh, man.
And you know what I took out of that story? The only thing I took out of that story was, first of all, like, oh, my God, Dan Gilbert, you know, fix him.
Sure.
He's important to our future.
Right.
In downtown Detroit. And then also that he was at Beaumont, I just thought, well, Beaumont must be good. If Dan Gilbert's there, it has to be good. Because there's no way Dan Gilbert would be there. Beaumont didn't have their act together.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
I always think it's interesting to find out which hospital that famous people are in, because I figure that's got to be a good hospital.
They can't advertise that.
That Dan Gilbert stayed there.
You saved Dan Gilbert.
It's public information. I mean, it's out there. Why not? They should.
Why is that public information where he is?
I don't. It shouldn't.
Family have to say.
Yeah, it really shouldn't be. I think it's just because somebody finds out, and I don't know. And then this story really, I just can't quite get a grip on how I feel about it. I think I'm completely pissed. I mean, I was delighted at first to see that. Oh, Harvey Weinstein has to pay $44 million to a number of his accusers who had a class action suit. And what the part that I didn't understand was they said that each accuser will probably get something like $60,000. And it's like, wait, $44 million, how does it equal $60,000 per accuser? I guess there's about 150 accusers. And then also, there's $14 million of the $40 million that's set aside to cover other Weinstein company people affected. So I'm reading this thing, and then I go, wait, what does this say? The insurance covers it. He doesn't have to pay a dime. What does he have, rape insurance? I mean, my basement floods and insurance will not pay 1 cent.
Right.
He rapes, you know, dozens of women, sexually assaults dozens more, and insurance covers it. And it's not like anybody's going, oh, that's bullshit. No, it's like, no, it's a fact. Insurance covers it. Done. $44 million. And they set $14 million aside. Well, these other guys make it suit too, so we got to put $14 million over here too. I mean, couldn't they give me $2,000 for my basement flooding and then like $5,000 for the future floods, since it floods every 3 years?
Yeah.
I mean, but $44 million for him, no problem.
He must have a specific policy. I wonder if...
I wonder why insurance is so expensive.
Yeah, right.
$44 million, that's half of what the initial victims fund was going to be when the Weinstein Company dissolved and they put the deal together, but it fell apart. So I don't know why they would have agreed to this.
Remember when OJ's homeowners was paying his attorneys?
Yeah.
What does he have, murdering insurance? What is that? Homeowners? What does that have to do with his home?
If he did that, premium must have been super high.
He didn't care. Yeah, but a small deductible. He paid the massive rates.
She didn't even get killed.
He didn't kill them at home.
No, he killed at her, and he wasn't paying her insurance. I know he's paying for all our cars, but...
No, they were his cars.
That's right.
He just let her drive it.
Right.
I was paying for the house.
Can somebody
pay the insurance on that house?
I mean, it's my car. I pay for everything. I pay for everything around here.
So
right?
he had murder insurance on every house that he owned then?
Yeah, well, apparently, if you were the Juice, wouldn't you?
Yeah. And Harvey Weinstein has rape insurance on every actress in Hollywood.
Well,
what the hell is going on there? And
don't forget about how much of that money is probably going to go to all the lawyers in general.
Well, yeah, but the point is, Harvey Weinstein is not injured one iota. It's settled. It didn't cost him a cent.
Well, it's not settled. I mean, he's got criminal trials starting here.
Well, yeah, and some of the people aren't part of it. Like,
I think they'll find him guilty.
Ashley Judd and Rose McGowan are not part of this suit, so there are potentially other suits. But I was just, I mean, am I the only one that's annoyed that the insurance is covering this? Why are they covering
it? I don't know. Shocked by that.
I didn't know. Now I am really annoyed.
Good. I'm glad I got you fired up, Trudy.
Because my insurance never pays for anything either. So,
no, did you rape or murder anyone?
Maybe I should start.
If you want to use your insurance, if you want to get your money's worth out of insurance, apparently you got to murder or rape somebody, and you'll still be free anyway. You'll never be charged criminally.
But you have to get
seems in this world.
You have to get the policy for that, right? You have to make sure.
Yeah, I guess there's
writer,
rape.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was rape or murder insurance.
Rape writer.
Never heard of it.
Rape writer.
But I just started thinking about this as I was reading the story. I was thinking about the story Charlie LaDuff did. No BS News. New episode available, by the way. It's about shit show. And he was in Poland, so he should have an interesting show this week, which will be out Sunday. And Charlie's coming to the barbecue.
Cool.
Charlie did a story about this woman who was homeless in Detroit. And she had lost her. She had her home foreclosed on her. And she was living in her car. And her car was like a 2003. This is probably 3 or 4 years ago. Her car was like a 12, 14-year-old car, and her insurance on the car was $3,000 a year.
I remember.
But because she was living in the car, she was paying the insurance on it.
Right.
So, yeah. You know, here you have someone who lives in her car in Detroit. She didn't even drive that much, and she's paying $3,000 a month, and you're going, God, was it $3,000? What was it? No, it was something. No, it was $6,000 a year is what it was. It was like $600 a month. Or $500 a month, $6,000 a year, whatever it was. It was crazy high. And she didn't have a bad driving record or anything, and she didn't drive much. She just lived in the car, and she had to drive to the store occasionally. And, I mean, she's really having a tough time. But I'm thinking, wait, that girl pays all that money for her car insurance, and anyone in Detroit pays crazy amounts of money.
Seems like
and then Harvey Weinstein rapes a bunch of women, and they just throw $44 million at it.
Can I ask a ridiculous question? So that's a lot of that times it's based on your zip code.
Yeah.
Couldn't she move her car/house to a different zip code?
Stupid question.
I think someone that she was parked near was letting her use their shower, actually. But yeah, she could
have said,
so that
was the mailing address she used?
I park in Southfield. Well, actually, Southfield isn't good. I park in Farmington. I park
in Birmingham.
Yeah. I know. That's a good question. But I still don't know. I remember when the OJ
thing came
up. The
money she would save would, you know, she could buy gas with it.
You know, wasn't that being said during the OJ trial that, oh, his homeowners is covering his attorneys.
Yeah.
Well, did anyone ever explain that? I never heard that explained.
Oh. I don't know.
It just seemed like, oh, of course they do. Don't you have murder insurance? Come on.
I don't understand that at all.
And then the other story that I thought was just so dumb, and maybe finally GoFundMe has jumped the shark. I hope. I'm starting to really hate GoFundMe because I see people, anybody goes, oh, I don't feel like paying for that. Put up a GoFundMe.
But you hear the new excuse, you know, like when you get, if you put some bad tweet out, people always go, I've been hacked. The new GoFundMe excuses, I didn't start it.
My sister started it.
And you're talking about Martin Scorsese's daughter.
Kathy Scorsese.
Who's 53. This is like a Jimmy Price Jr. thing. Because
I know.
Like, oh, Scorsese, what is she, 18?
I was thinking of this girl just out of college, you know.
Yeah, no.
She, and by the way, she is, you know, come out to say that, I'm not a trust fund baby, because Martin Scorsese, he has $100 million. I mean, he's insanely wealthy. And then she goes on to say that, I've been working in the entertainment industry, and I'm like, oh, the entertainment industry, I guess your father never helped you at all. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I'm not really inclined to hate her because she's I love Martin Scorsese. But she does live in a $1.2 million condo.
Yep.
And her next-door neighbor's toilet apparently overflowed. There's a sewage problem.
Well, do you know what? Did you see why?
No, I didn't.
The neighbor was putting shredded paper down the toilet.
Oh, I wonder why.
So the pipes are all just messed up.
Anyway, damaged her apartment, and then you're going, well, wait, that's her neighbor's toilet, so that's not her. No, it's not her fault. In fact, insurance is paying for Kathy Scorsese to stay in another apartment. The problem is she has 8 cats, 2 of the cats. What's going on?
Sounds like a barbecue's about to explode.
Oh.
happen.
Maybe Charlie's here or Matt Riley's stopping by.
Oh, he just
somebody's here.
Tell by the legs. Who is it?
Oh, it's Matt. I see the Michigan shorts.
I love those shorts.
Way to go, Mags.
Quiet.
Great.
Quiet.
Oh, I know. I know.
Quiet.
Mags and Layla.
Call the dogs off, Drew.
Mel Gibson and his father.
See Mags.
It's called
Quiet, Mel.
Be quiet.
It's called Employment Practices Liability Insurance, EPL. It's really common.
It is.
It provides coverage to employers against claims made by employees alleging discrimination, sex, race, disability, et cetera.
Oh, wrongful for Harvey.
Termination and other things like that.
What about for OJ?
I don't see the one about murdering, but.
But part of this GoFundMe thing is that the insurance company's paying for her apartment to get fixed. But and not only for her apartment to get fixed, but for her living expenses, which. By the way, she chose an apartment in Manhattan.
Yeah, she's in a $1.2 million apartment. I'm not a trust fund baby. Okay, but she's got this place. Insurance is covering her new place. But she has 8 cats. 2 of them are special needs. And she has some dogs. So they can't possibly fit in this place the insurance company has purchased for me for the interim period. So her half-sister starts a GoFundMe for Kathy Scorsese, who owns a $1.2 million condominium and is in another place that is paid for. Why does she need $30,000? Well, she needs $30,000 because her half-sister says she needs another place, a bigger place, to put the animals. So people were giving money to a GoFundMe for Kathy Scorsese.
They live with Martin for a month or 2 months or 4 months, however long it takes.
You know... Of course, there's a million ways this is stupid.
Where are they going to live?
What angered me probably the most was Kathy Scorsese's response, which is, I'm not a trust fund baby. Somebody has to take care of these animals. It's like, okay, you chose to have that many fucking animals. You are in the entertainment industry. I suspect your father may have helped you. You've done pretty well. You got a $1.2 million place. How dare you not tell your sister, take that GoFundMe down immediately. That's embarrassing. No, she said, I'm not a trust fund baby. I don't get anything from my dad.
Serious issue, shallow thought on the Scorsese family. I thought his daughters would have been hotter.
Yeah, she's not terribly attractive.
All 3 of them are.
I wish there were GoFundMes for photo. Looks.
Oh.
Might give some money.
Oh. Okay. Oh. Oh, my.
They're all a little. Big.
She's not repulsive or anything. I mean, yeah, it's really not
yours.
Part
Where's
of the
that
story.
Gene come from? He doesn't have it.
I know. He doesn't have the big gene.
He does have the big eyebrow gene, but I don't see that on any of
them. They're all like 4 to a foot taller than him, 4 inches to a foot taller than him.
What are you going to do about the eyebrows?
Is this the young lady who says she's not a trust fund baby wearing the
second
tight,
from the left?
Tight
no,
leather.
She's that.
It's the big
that
one.
Lady. The big, the big one on the left.
I like the tight leather dress in the person who A should not be wearing that, no. And it's
oh,
a
that's,
mini.
That's
a
his
mini.
Third wife. That's Martin's third
Wait,
wife.
This is
yeah, the right. No, is. No, no. All the way to the right's a daughter. The
that's
one
that
meets
that's
to
the
his immediate
sister. Is that the girl that started the GoFundMe?
One of the bookends is one the one who started
right.
it.
Yeah, in the tight.
Point being is, I'm
dress.
Just. I was just surprised that they were more attractive.
Yeah, that's.
Do you know how much is this dress worth?
She's kind of a big girl, and it is tighter than Dick's skin.
It's short.
Crazy.
And it's short.
But how pathetic. Here they are out wearing, of course, you know, probably $10,000 dresses. And,
sure.
And yet people are supposed to give to a GoFundMe for her special needs cats. Why do you have special needs cats if you absolutely can't afford them in the event that there's an event
emergency.
Where your insurance company has to put you in an apartment, which they pay for?
Yeah.
And if it's not big enough, oh, my God, the whole thing comes tumbling down. So a GoFundMe has to be started. This, to me, is how many times can GoFundMe jump the shark? Honestly, there's so many dumb stories that are GoFundMes.
Well, you would have thought the deal with the couple and the homeless guy would have been the end of it.
But I've seen a lot of them lately where someone dies, and it's like there's a GoFundMe for the funeral expenses, and I go, really, they can't afford it.
And there's
really,
8 fake ones.
Seems to me, I know. Well, there was the guy that, you know,
Juneteenth,
and he had the backwards Nazi symbol on his car. Somebody spray painted, and he started. There were 2 GoFundMes for him.
There's also the lady from the fire festival. He started the GoFundMe, and she got
her
none
friend
of
was going to get half of it. Her friend who suffered
nice.
No damages.
Yep.
Oh boy. Then. Other just sort of passing news. Scott Pelley from CBS.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
today said that I didn't lose my job as CBS Evening Anchor. I complained too many times about the hostile work environment at CBS, and I went to my boss, and he told me I better shut up or I'd lose my job, which, by the way, who says that to a news anchor?
No one.
I mean, is somebody going to say that to Robin Roberts or Matt Lauer back in the day or David Muir? Hey, shut up about the hostile work environment or you're fired. Well, first of all, that would get them fired.
The hostile work environment was probably like, Pelly, get your ratings up!
Well,
they're probably really all over him.
If he had complained so much about the hostile work environment that it annoyed them and he had good ratings, would it matter at all? No. Because CBS has been mired in third place forever, and he didn't do anything. Honestly, when I saw this story, I was like, oh, yeah, Scott Pelley was an anchor. I forgot about that. I didn't even remember being an anchor. I mean, I barely remember him being an anchor. That's how insignificant CBS was. And CBS, by the way, came out to say, no, that's not why he was fired. That had nothing to do with it. And they tried to be nice about it and said, yes, he did disagree with the work environment, and we have done all we can to fix that, and we think it is much improved, and he says that too. But he seemed to be trying to say that, hey, I'm a hero, and I didn't get fired because I suck. It was because of the hostile work environment.
Was it in part because of Les Moonves, or...
Les Moonves, but remember Charlie Rose and 60
CBS
Minutes had an
lot
issue.
Of that.
Oh, yeah. CBS
Whoa.
Was a mess.
And Jeff Fager.
Who?
Right?
Was that dude?
Yeah, he was with the Evening News.
60 Minutes.
Oh, was he the producer?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But, you know, to me,
sorry about that.
Losing the anchor job at CBS News, isn't it almost like losing an internship or something because you overslept a couple times? I mean, nobody cares who the CBS Evening Anchor is. Do they really?
No. No.
You know what? I always thought he did.
I didn't even know he was.
Anchors I thought he did an admirable job, but I never watched it.
All anchors are interchangeable now.
Pretty much.
No more Rather and Jennings. And
I like Lester.
Lester's
I
good.
Like Lester, okay.
I've come around to Lester. I hated him at first because of Brian, but...
Muir can hit the skids as far as I'm concerned.
Muir is very earnest, though.
No, he's phony.
He's phony.
Total phony.
Brandon, what are people calling the boner line about today?
Oh, man, a myriad of different things. I know there's some stuff about Walter in there. There's some separated at births.
Really?
Is it a long boner line?
Have you
I think
it's
about 6 minutes.
Okay, good, because I can use a break. We'll hit the boner line and we'll wrap things up because we got a barbecue to get to.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo. Drew, Mark, Brandon, Trudy, Maz, what's up?
I'm watching the Muhammad Ali What's My Name documentary series on HBO.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And I was wondering what Drew had to say about Muhammad Ali's Deer Lake, Pennsylvania boxing camp. I just heard it had no electricity.
No energy.
I totally agree with you on the last names as first names thing. I can't stand it. And whenever I meet somebody who has a last name as their first name, I automatically think less of them.
You've got a name that's not a name.
So he has two first names.
You guys were talking about Brooks Koepka.
Wrong.
The PGA golfer and his girlfriend or wife, Jenna Sims. Brandon, were you thinking the same thing I was as with her last name? I kept thinking of Johnny Sins. For those of you who don't know who Johnny Sins is, just look him up, especially on the work computer.
Pornhub.
I love you, Drew, and Mark, and Brandon. And Trudy is my fucking favorite, of course, because I'm a female. Love you guys. I also have to say that I've been dying to go to Mesa. I've been trying to go to Mesa. But my fucking husband won't take me there.
She said he's a pussy.
He's telling me to like you on Facebook, but I don't have Facebook. Facebook's for, like, old, washed-up radio guys.
What kind of jerk is this guy?
They used to have huge advertisements on the side of the People Mover and everything, and whenever the Huel Perkins train, it was the giant face of Huel Perkins on the side that we always just take a shot for every time Huel Perkins would go by. That is my People Mover story.
Hell yeah. Ha ha.
Just when I thought Drew had outgrown his penis fascination on the last show, and you guys were going over the scene from Chernobyl, not only does he make you rewind the nude miner scene, but he's so laser focused that he notices that the foreman, it's uncircumcised.
Anyone for penis? I got bitches. Brandon,
Bobby McNutt, 69. What in the hell are you talking about?
Drew saying that he does not talk about reality TV as a benchmark of the show. Are you fucking kidding me? The list goes on and on. Teen Mom, The Bachelor, and the stupid Bachelorette. Remember that stupid show, Down Below Deck or whatever? That stupid fucking show. We got Jersey Shore. We talk about them fools. Who else?
You know what he's doing? He's watching TV, and don't say you don't. Because when I come home, I always put my hand on top of the TV to see if it's warm, and it always is.
Hey, don't give our hair, but Brandon's got the best non sequitur fart on earth.
Smelly, but I love it.
Colin Winslow Jr. is fucked up. You're talking about his prior instances where he's gotten in trouble with the law. The one where he was masturbating in his car in a parking lot is so fucking funny. When the cops approached him, he said, I was looking for a Boston market. So whenever something weird happens or something fucked up happens, my buddies and I will always say, oh, I'm looking for a Boston market.
That sounds delicious.
So I have a separated at birth. David Eastman or whatever his name is, Janelle Evans, boyfriend or whatever he is, separated at birth with Kenny Powers.
Instagram has blocked me from using it. Believe that shit? Best believe it.
Crazy, just like being out in the real working world, working a real job, like getting out of the house, it just exhausts you. It really does. It's exhausting.
I know Brandon was working the No Filter show, and I'll tell you what, if the first show back from the Memorial Day weekend does not start with a clip of Eli screaming, I love lesbians. But I don't know, man. I'm going to really question Brandon.
I love lesbians.
This is kind of crazy, but I think there's a separated at birth with Walter the Boof announcer.
This is Walter, your Boof announcer for the Red Shovel Network.
And this gentleman that got into a physical altercation in one of the Silverdome memories. I don't know, maybe you guys have all.
I can punch a guy twice. Left, right. I can't watch the paramedics carry his sorry ass away. It's my favorite Silverdome memory-ish.
I was laughing so hard. Drew's bitching about this BuzzFeed or whatever the hell it's called. That is so fucking funny. Woo! And I love it when he gets pissed, and then all of a sudden you come across the guy who likes it. Oh, I like this guy. I'm kind of getting into him. Tell all those sacks of shit to fuck right off, Drew.
You freaking bully, you coward.
Hey, Drew, it's your forensic accountant, and I can already tell you that asshole who's talking about the 25 minutes on BuzzFeed radio, I guarantee you he's got a bag of dicks in his mouth for at least 25 minutes, three times a day.
It's hurting me very badly.
The Buzzboard needs to be a once-a-week segment on the show because it's fucking hilarious how Drew rips apart the guys who rip you guys apart.
Why are you guys bullying me?
Drew was doing his imitation of Buddy Ebsen saying, thank you, Drew and Mike.
Thank you very much, Drew and Mike.
And it made me miss your old closing package or whatever it is that you used to close your old show with. If you could bring that back and play it, I'd love to hear it.
Coolness aside, I'd like to say thank you.
Thank you, Rudy.
Say it! Say it!
Thank you and stuff.
Thank you, Jesus!
All right, show's over, folks.
I just said thank you!
Thank you, Detroit!
Hey, thank you, beautiful thing.
Thank you, media.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Drew and Mike.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Detroit. I love you all.
Well, thank you. Thank you again.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thanks for everything.
Thank you. You have been a wonderful audience.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you for coming.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, and God bless America.
Bye-bye, son of a bitch.
Seacrest, out.
Love you all.
Bye.
Bye.
I wish we'd get a more trebly version of that. Jeez.
Bye.
Dan Evans, since you got us all that stuff, could you find a clean... He is really... The
Show
stuff
clothes?
He sent me was very clean.
Yeah,
so
there has to be a lot of that.
Be nice if we had our Arca.
Tape machines everywhere.
Yeah. Wherever it is.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's the national anthem? Some guys did the national anthem on harmonica.
Did you see it, Brandon?
I just saw it up on TV, but I didn't hear it, obviously.
Pull him up. This guy, World War II vet, old guy, played the national anthem on a harmonica.
He's got to be in his mid-90s at the youngest.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you care to guess where he played it at?
Comerica?
No.
Oh, it was soccer, wasn't it?
Before the female U.S. soccer game against Mexico. It's like, my first one was, couldn't we find a better place for this guy to do his national anthem? I mean, he rocks. Look at this dude.
Yeah, so that's 96-year-old World War II veteran Pete Dupre. He's known as Harmonica Pete.
Look how empty the stands are.
Awesome, awesome rendition. Definitely set the tone for the game.
Oh, thanks for playing the whole thing.
3-0. And I tell you what, guys.
Shut up, asshole. Go get your own harmonica. What a jerk.
Oh, that was exciting.
Wow. Yeah, jeez.
There's another.
You're ruining it, CNN.
There's another story today that was. I've heard this a lot about all the FBI tapes of Martin Luther King because they bugged him numerous times in the Nixon years and probably in the 60s before Nixon because J. Edgar Hoover bugged everybody. Anybody didn't like, basically.
Super paranoid about.
John Lennon.
MLK. Oh, that too, yeah.
Yeah, MLK. I will not call him anything but MLK because if you mispronounce his name, you lose your job forever.
Have you, by a little side note, have you seen Black Klansman yet?
I have not.
They refer to him as the way those people that got fired have referred to him. The KKK did.
Oh, they do?
Yes.
They call him that?
I was watching
purpose?
It going, hey, that's what that weatherman said. He got fired for. Yeah.
Well, Martin Luther King Jr. is being Me Too.
MLK, yeah.
Yeah, why did I say his name? What am I thinking about?
It's dangerous.
Walking a tightrope.
Dangerous. Razor blade.
The MLK Jr. biographer has read the files, and he's also a Pulitzer Prize winner. So he won a Drulitzer too, I believe, for a picture he took at one point. I don't remember what year it was. So he's very credible, and he is saying that among other things, well, supposedly he had 40 to 45 extramarital affairs.
Yeah,
that's a lot of mistresses. I mean, well, if it was a team photo, that'd be one thing. But I mean, he's talking like full blown mistresses.
It could be one night stands.
And then there's all these silly little things in there. Like, at one point, he jokes that he was the founder of the International Association for the Advancement of Pussy Eaters.
Oh.
And I'm sure he got a huge laugh because he's MLK Jr.
I'm laughing.
I'm more upset because it's just a dumb joke.
I thought it was good.
It's not bad. I think.
Oh,
he can
by
do
those
better.
Standards back then, though. Wasn't it?
Yeah, I guess at the time it was pretty edgy. That's true. Yeah, sure. Okay, I'll give him his due.
Now maybe nothing, not a blip. But.
And then MLK and this pastor are accompanying these female parishioners. I think he's in there to speak, and for somehow the pastor, it sounds like it's like the C.L. Franklin church where there's a lot of sex through the church.
Yeah.
So the pastor's going to hook him up, and they've got all these female parishioners, and in the conversation, MLK and the pastor are discussing which of the ladies would be suitable for which sex acts, apparently.
What?
And that's what it said. They said would be discussing which of the ladies were suitable for natural and unnatural sex acts. And they said the women did not approve of the conversation. The pastor decides he's going to have sex with this one girl who he then proceeds to rape against her will while MLK looks on and laughs and offered advice. No, I don't know what they would. Put it in her buttocks. Put it in her buttocks.
Buttocks.
What?
Free at last. The man's semen is free at last. What advice? I mean, advice?
I have a wet dream.
Oh,
Then it goes on to say, and by the way, seriously, Shishel thought, is this gets worse and worse? Are we still going to get King Day off?
Well, that's funny you say that. The new update on the story is people are demanding the statues be taken down.
I've seen some ridiculous tweets. Just people going, yeah, where's the Me Too movement now?
Well, I don't know. You would think this would upset people.
Well, it's being countered with, oh, you believe the FBI now? So.
Oh, I see. So now you don't believe the FBI.
It's just a big argument.
It just
on
depends
Twitter.
On who it is.
I never knew that was an optional thing, but now it is.
The
Pretty
next
much
day,
optional. Yeah.
Seems oh, to yeah. be. The next day, MLK and 10 to 12 others engaged in a sex orgy. And then one woman was reluctant to participate. And the quote is that MLK said, it will help your soul to be in this orgy. And then they
was he Vanguard?
They they quote some prostitute who had a threesome with MLK, and she had said it was the worst orgy, which was possibly the worst orgy ever. She said it was the worst orgy ever.
How many was she in?
I don't know.
She should have just been the witness.
Nice.
But
orgy needs a witness.
The bottom line
baby
is
baby wipes.
It seems that he has a two-track mind: civil rights and pussy.
Yeah.
No, it's like if you're not fucking, you're rocking. If you're not rocking, you're fucking. Right. If it's not civil rights, it's pussy. If it's not pussy, it's civil rights. He just got kind of back of the bust out sometimes, and so he'd focus on women.
Well, you can't go
in. I'm so back of the bust out right now. Oh, it's wow. Weird story.
It's bizarre. Well, we always knew there were things with him and women.
Oh, absolutely. That's been around. And they have him having sex.
Yeah,
with
on tape
people because still, they were bugging.
I just hate how there's just this huge goal to assassinate. Well, in this case, probably a bad choice of words, but to just take down people's character of 40, 50 years ago, and then we have to pretend like they never did anything good. They never did anything great. Christopher Columbus. He sailed the ocean blue. Now we're not even allowed to say his name.
Well, people are just taking statues down without even asking, in some cases.
Right.
I mean, they're just overrunning. And right. There's no context.
Thomas Jefferson, he's one of the founders of our country.
Kate Smith is done.
Yeah.
That's over.
Well, she never should have had one in the first place.
Why not? That meant a lot to people at the time.
Meh.
She did great things for World War II, Mark. Great things.
Yeah, she raised war bonds.
Yeah, she raised the most war bonds out of, like, anybody. That's a big deal. The war was
such
a pretty
a
big
Kate
thing.
Smith fan.
I was a pretty big fan of winning the World War II.
You don't think we would have won it without Kate Smith?
I think she helped, and I think that we shouldn't just throw off all of her achievements because she sang a song that somebody else wrote.
Mark, why are you playing devil's advocate on the Kate Smith argument?
Well, because my whole point from the beginning was, why did she have a statue? That seems very odd to me.
She meant a lot to a lot of people.
I thought it was a little over. The whole Flyers thing was kind of overblown, and
exactly.
For whatever reason, the Yankees play it, but I don't understand why.
Now when the Blues win, they're going to have a statue of Brannigan. What's her name for glory?
Brannigan. No, seriously, though.
Well, it's the same thing.
This thing comes out. It's like, she sang this song. It's all. It's like done in
5 minutes.
No,
that's stupid, too.
And no one gives it any thought whatsoever. Boom, done. And then, Martin Luther King, who has a day. I mean, these are pretty brutal stuff, and people are, whatever. I mean, nothing will come of this. I can tell you right now, nothing will come of it. So why? I mean, this business of having different standards for different. I mean, it's just shouldn't. Should we knock down? Why don't we just stop knocking down statues and just take a breath?
Mm-hmm. We have to remember that those were erected for a reason, because at the time, the people really felt a strong connection with those individuals. We can't just erase history.
Well, there were somebody was bringing up the fact that if you went back 20 years, you could find so many gay jokes. And if you just eliminate those people. Just said, no, they're all gone. And you judge him by 2018, 19, it doesn't look good. And I got the Kevin Hart
hey
thing.
Guys, it's new on the Gay Channel.
What is that?
There you go. No, it was different. It just was. And to say, you're eliminated. Fuck you. It's crazy. I thought this stuff with yearbooks from 1980 and 82 and blackface and 81. What's his name? Went to a Curtis Blow he went to a Halloween party and he dressed up as Curtis Blow because he was a fan and he put on blackface.
But it worked. They didn't lose. None of them lost their job.
No, they didn't. But the whole hullabaloo was just fucking crazy.
Week.
It's like he was 19 years old.
Crazy.
19-year-olds are dumb. They do dumb things. I don't know what the dumbest age was. I had a really interesting argument with somebody. When are you dumbest? And I was pushing for 19 because I felt that when you've been in college for a year, you really think you know it all. Like, I'm hot shit. I know it all. I'm 19. And you're still an idiot.
Yeah.
Pretty much. And if you look at 19-year-olds who are tweeting, you'll see a lot of stupid things.
Yeah.
Just saying.
I think 19, 20. It's
21 is pretty dumb, too, because you really think you know it all because
you're
graduating.
Drink
I mean,
no, I think you're right. 19, though.
It's pretty dumb.
Stupid.
Pretty dumb. And then when you get into like 15, 16, too, and they start driving, it's like, I'm an adult. I can do everything. I can drive. And I know where to get booze.
Yeah, but nowadays that age is getting pushed to 19 when people drive.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, 16-year-olds are like 11-year-olds now.
Yeah. 16's the new 11. Hey, regarding you know, people and sex and religion and sex, you saw that five priests got arrested by the state of Michigan.
I think it was over the weekend. Yeah,
I know the one priest.
Really?
Yeah, he was at St. Thomas in Ann Arbor for 4 years, 3 years, or 4 years. And as soon as he was removed, it was like, oh yeah, that's why. Like, everyone knew why he was removed. Well, and he was shipped off to Alaska, Father Tim.
You know,
he had a sweet porn mustache too, which he doesn't have anymore in his mugshot.
I know we've come up on this many times before, but I, for the life of me, I can't understand. There's so many investigations into churches now for child molestation and for, you know, these people, they get moved around. Hey, move to New Mexico, see if you molest any kid there. And then they do, well, and then they move them somewhere else, and they do it again, or they get them away from kids. But nobody ever calls the police. And, you know, with Larry Nassar, it's like, oh, my God, and these Penn State people, they're in prison. The president's in prison. But people in the church, how many people in the church are in prison for not doing anything?
With this father that we knew.
They know. They have a written record of this stuff. So does the church,
diocese, yeah.
Seventh-day Adventists.
Oh yeah,
yeah. The
Mormons.
Place? The headquarters.
Oh, the Watchtower.
Watchtower. Yeah, they have all that information. Mm-hmm. It's all written down. They know everything, and nobody's going, put those fuckers in prison. But for some reason, when it's Penn State and Sandusky, it's like everyone has to go to prison. Joe Paterno, take his statue down, put him in, you know, and the president, and I'm not saying those guys are great. I'm just saying, why don't people do that about these people in the church and in the Watchtower?
I couldn't agree more.
So
but you know why.
Scientology does the same thing, too. They keep people from...
But you know why. You know, the main difference, though, these universities are public universities that have... Everything's on record. Emails. There's just a lot more to
the
get.
The churches have it on record too.
Yeah, but
they do. They write
it
down.
And they can destroy them. And they're not going to get them.
Well, they can, but they don't. They didn't.
Oh, I know,
they gave them redacted
the
copies.
Point being that churches and religious groups are just protected in this country like you wouldn't believe.
Well, but there's no screaming is what I'm saying. Nobody's screaming.
Oh, I agree.
Oh my God, get that archdiocese, you know, or that cardinal. You don't hear names being thrown around, but when it's, you know, for some reason, when it's Penn State football, all of a sudden, all these, you know, Joe Paterno, oh my God, take a statue down.
Because more people would rather go to a Penn State game than go to church.
Would you like to go to Neverland Ranch, a Catholic church, or Penn State University? We're having fun here, aren't we?
A lot of people go to church. It's really strange. I don't know. I don't understand why the church brings out so little outrage. It's like story after story after story after story. I mean, this has been going on. How long has the Catholic Church been getting busted for pedophiles?
Well, shit, 30 years now.
Right, and they never call the police. They never inform the authorities. Yep. They always move the guy here, move him there, retire him, do something. But
After Boston, though, I think now in the U.S. they have to, which slow down the rest of the world, slow down church in the Vatican.
Well, they're supposed to, but there are 15 state investigations, and a lot of the other states. USA Today had a state-by-state thing on the case.
How many of those were post-Spotlight, post-Boston, the one that really blew it up?
Some of them were very current.
Are they?
Yeah. And a lot of them are people that are, you know, it happened a long time ago, but they still never did anything about it.
You know,
they
weird.
Still didn't bother. They still, and these people were, some were still active.
It was revealed, this priest that I knew was revealed that, oh yeah, they paid off the guy. Not much. I mean, they gave the kid very little. But when he, the weird
thing.
Yeah,
there was somebody in that story that got $200,000.
It was him.
And, oh, that was the case.
And the weird
okay.
thing is that.
Yeah, give money and let this guy keep molesting people.
He was molested first at one parish in Jackson. Then he followed Father Tim to another parish. And then he eventually followed him to St. Thomas in Ann Arbor. So he was 20. Oh, boy. We always heard he was in his young 20s, like 21, 22, when he finally was removed and shipped off to Alaska.
He was only, wait.
He was 21 or 22.
The victim was?
Yeah, he followed him to two different parishes. Yeah, it's a really bizarre story.
And a lot of them.
Thank God they fucking finally got this guy.
Brandon,
we knew back then what a creep he was.
Why don't you get us out of here? Oh, everyone knew he was a creep?
Yeah, oh yeah.
It's like that guy I keep talking about, the Boy Scout and the gym teacher. Like, everyone knew. The parents knew. The kids knew. Everyone. If his name came up, was like, oh, yeah, he likes little boys.
I was talking to my mom about it. She goes, yeah, your father was talking to him on Saturday night because my dad was on the school board or whatever. And the next day at church, there were TV cameras. And the bishop saying he'd been removed because of sexual misconduct.
Could have been your dad.
Oh my
God.
Could have been him. If only he was younger.
It could have been Al.
John Cusick's in trouble again for vaping at a Cubs game.
Kick him
First
out.
First he won't stand up for the military tribute. Now he's vaping.
It By the sent way, shivers up Theo Epstein when he saw that he was vaping.
I'm sure it did.
Wouldn't that be great if the Cubs just started kicking out every fan for the most minor infraction?
Well, I would think vaping during a game is not as bad as making the circle game sign. I mean, really? I don't know. If it was a fan vaping, not John Cusack, wouldn't they just run you? I mean, who doesn't know that you can't vape at a baseball game?
Why can't you? I mean,
I don't.
You shouldn't
vape.
Because it looks stupid. But why can't you?
In Chicago, you can't vape anywhere.
What?
Vape clouds are huge. No. They're thick. They stink.
Really?
The last couple times I've stayed at hotels, there's no vaping. No vaping.
Why?
I don't know. They're just treating them like they're treating vaping like cigarettes, pretty much. I don't think you see vaping in restaurants, do you?
I guess not. No. How ludicrous.
Is it Rahm Emanuel? It's Rahm Emanuel.
Oh, Rahm. That's for sure. All right, we'll see you tomorrow. Have a good one.
If you don't love it, leave it. USA, number one.